It's the Bob and Tom Show.
Joining us in the interview loft, comedian John Campanera. John's a great, great stand-up comedian, a veteran of the world of stand-up comedy. Started in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bob grew up in Los Angeles.
Vin Scully was my man.
Vin Scully. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you did?
Vin Scully is funny because he's one of these announcers that loves to read lips.
Yeah.
And he thinks he knows what they're saying on the field. Wait a minute, here comes Tracy out of the dugout. He's in the umpire's face. It appears he wants to take the ump to Fuddruckers after the game. The ump says he doesn't like Fuddruckers, says to go to Fuddruckers yourself. Tracy says you gotta try the ground chuck, you. The ump says chuck you too and tosses him out of the game. Well, how do you like that? You offer somebody dinner and they throw you out of the game.
You know what makes me laugh? Is Skip Carey, Harry's son. He does the Atlanta Brave games.
Sure.
I listen to this guy when I can't sleep. He's like Somonex.
Chipper Jones takes one on the outside, 3-1 at Chipper Jones. Don't forget, all week long, we got the best of the Duke right here on TBS. John Wayne right here on TBS. There's a long fly ball. Looks like that's out of here. And don't forget to tune in Tuesday. We got the best of Charles Bronson right here on TBS. Death Wish 1 through 25 right here on TBS. Well, I guess that was the game winner. Everybody seems to be shaking hands and patting each other. Tune in Wednesday when the Cubs come to face the Braves right here on TBS.
I love that.
And you know, Harry's going, I can't believe that. That's my son. He's got no personality. What the hell is he talking about? You know, Harry would get excited over the dumbest stuff. Hey! Check out the kid in the sombrero. That's a good-looking youngster, huh? You'd be like, what the hell is that?
Comes the show. It's the Bob and Tom,
Bob and Tom
Show.
Bob and Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Chick.
Hello, Crit.
Wait, she stepped out for just a second.
She stepped out.
She's awfully short.
Hello, Josh.
There she is.
Hey,
we're moving on. It's live. Our special guest in the studio, ladies and gentlemen.
Guest host,
Frank Caliendo. It's Frank!
Oh, come on, sit down. It's just Frank Caliendo, famous comedian impressionist.
Also today, Mr. Greg Hahn.
Is that right?
Isn't that something?
We thought we'd give Frank a sense of the difficulty of doing a show like this.
Al Jackson.
Greg?
With Han.
Yeah.
I've been in with Han before.
Oh, yeah.
It's manic.
It's crazy, man.
Because I got I was talking to one of my sons last night on the phone, and he's in college, and which in and of itself makes me believe in God. The point is, he's got an assignment, and the assignment was to discuss a contemporary comedian's work and how it could be considered to be a descendant of vaudeville.
Oh.
And, you know, we know a couple hundred comedians. Let me rephrase that. We know a couple hundred people who want to be comedians.
I think they're comedians.
We know, like, maybe 10 comedians.
Frank's certainly one of the very best.
Five.
I'll be in either group. I don't care.
Let's make that clear. And I was trying to think, what comedian could I see that could walk out on stage at a vaudeville show in 1910 and have his act work immediately? And it's Han.
Yeah.
All you have to do is get one of those tweed check jacket suits, you know, and the bow tie.
And a hat.
A big hat.
And if you've never seen him, his act is it's just this absurd character that just makes you want to pee your pants after a few minutes, and you can't tell you explain why.
It's because you're laughing, not
it's like
you
a
really
one man.
Right.
It's kind of like a one man Three Stooges.
That's a pretty good way to put it.
But with this, I don't know, weird attitude, and you can't figure out where it's coming from. It's brilliant.
It's very weird. And now we turn to another comedian. He's Frank Kellyanne. And Frank is one of my favorite human beings. Father of two that he knows of course. And native of Wisconsin. Returning to Wisconsin, by the way. A very rare appearance. If you get a chance to head to the Wisconsin Dells, by the way, not a bad time to be in the Wisconsin Dells. What do you think?
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Next weekend, it's the Crystal Grand Theater.
Now, there's a lot of farmer up there.
In the Dells?
Isn't there, Josh?
That's what they say.
That's what I've heard that said.
Hang on a second.
I've heard tell.
Farmer in the Dells.
Is that what that's from?
I don't know.
I'm sure there are Dells elsewhere.
I lost Wisconsin in my second divorce. You remember this story.
Oh, yeah, sorry. It could have been worse.
Farmer loses a wife.
Oh, no. It could be a lot worse. Wisconsin could still be in my life, if you know what I mean.
No,
I think you do.
Never mind. I'll just move right on.
Already?
Frank Caliendo is a tremendous comedian, performer, and human
what
being.
What is a Dell? Is it like a glen? A valley? A building?
There are all these kids' songs I never understood.
The cow that's in charge?
Because a dale is like a glen, I think.
Over here, the dusty trail.
Huh.
There's a lot of things we just take for granted. Like you just assume they make sense, these kids' songs. Or like, If I Had a Hammer. What the hell's that about? Some kind of construction.
He'd hammer in the morning.
Well, listen, I got to get some sleep. So if you want to hammer in the evening, you can go to your own house.
Well, luckily he's doing it all over this land, so there's only a chance he'll be near you.
Okay.
Unless you're following
my point
around,
is
then.
Adele is a small valley, usually among trees.
All right.
So the Wisconsin Dells are a series of
valleys among trees.
So if you want to see Frank Caliendo, let me get this straight. If you want to see the great Frank Caliendo in concert.
This sounds cool. It's outdoors. All right.
Somewhere in Wisconsin, near your home city of Milwaukee or not, near Madison, really.
Yeah, right outside of Madison.
You can see.
So is Adele like a small range?
It's a valley. I just said that.
Well, but what's a range is what I'm getting at.
We mean home.
Something
home
I use in my kitchen to cook dinner.
No,
on?
A range is a long flat area, right?
Okay, so so Adele is a small range.
Well, what's a plane then? What about a plane? Where does that come into play?
You got me.
Seems like there's too many words for pieces of land. Hunks of turf. Tundra.
Yeah, let's just stay away from some of them.
Yeah, it started early today.
remember the Mad magazine years ago, the great parody of Bonanza, and they had a map of Texas, and they had the Ponderosa, and the Ponderosa was bigger. I thought that was very humorous. Frank, you don't do Dan Blocker, do you?
And here he is now. Good job, Tom.
Frank is well known for his work on ESPN, where he appears on occasion as a variety of people. Who did they beg you to do most?
Well, they're always asking me to do the John Madden stuff. They would always say, you don't want to do John Madden. I'm like, no, I don't really want to.
Like, but lately...
One of the newest football lives is John Madden.
I think I'm in it.
On the NFL
They called
Network,
me...
And to, you are in it I? For a split second, and Madden makes no mention of you.
Well, he turned a little bit. I told you that story before where I met his grandkids.
Yeah.
And made his grandkids laugh.
And they really
you did Madden for them.
Yeah, and he was like, I get it now. It was like a light bulb going on over his head. But, yeah, all those years, the bosses at Fox would tell me, yeah, he doesn't like you. And then in public, he'd be like, yeah, you know, he's okay. And then they'd be like, no, John hates you.
I mean, but if you think about it, what an honor.
Yeah.
First of all, he's a football guy. It's pretty much the focus of his life, and he's got a lot of quirks. Never took an airplane, and you're not making.
But the sports guys have problems with they're put on pedestals their entire lives. So their coaches, whenever they're a coach, so they're not used to getting made fun of unless somebody's in their circle. So when you're the guy, the comedian guy, and you're outside the circle, you remember the first time John Madden was introduced to me. Jimmy Kimmel was doing the segments at Fox at the time, and they brought me on as Madden for President. And I came in, and he took a pair of hedge clippers to the Madden eyebrows I was wearing. And apparently Madden's like, what is this all about? And the next day he had his eyebrows trimmed.
Well, then you did a good thing.
Yeah, well, it was Kimmel. It wasn't me. I mean, and then we did the Jimmy Kimmel at Jimmy's house, wrapping up the year, barbecuing at Jimmy's house, and he opens up I'm at the grill. He's like, what are you making, Mr. Madden? Little thing I picked up in Kansas City, mustard rub short ribs. I open up the grill, and there's Emmanuel Lewis. from Webster.
Okay.
And then he, then I chase after him like I'm going to eat him. And then to the Yakety Sax Benny Hill music. Yeah. And then we go behind a wall. He's then got the tongs or whatever and the chef's hat. And then he jumps on me. And apparently Madden was watching in the cruiser going, I'm a cannibal now. What is this?
Can you just say something for me? I love when you always say, as Madden, say, I hate Frank Caliendo.
I hate Frank Caliendo. You could be, there's people you can be fans of and people you aren't fans of. And Caliendo is one of those guys.
I guess he's even called people and go, said, you got Caliendo'd, huh?
Frank Caliendo, well-meaning gentleman, father of two. Husband of
yeah,
one.
I always tell people I don't do it to be mean. I do it to make money.
I've never sensed any malice out of any of your impressions.
No, I mean, I try to find the fun thing in everybody. That's to me. There's two ways you can go with characters, really, right? It's you can despise somebody so much that you find an emotional connection to them, and then you go that way. And I always found that you just ended up so angry if you do the character that way. And so I always just found the silly version, and that made me laugh more. Like Dana Carvey way of doing it.
Yes.
Carvey would always blow things, and still does, blows things up to that silly caricature. And my John Madden wasn't even John Madden anymore. I talk about him like he's passed away in my act. But it
was the original way was to talk like I listen to old versions. I hear, "Hey folks, John Madden here." It's like Mickey Mouse doing
Mickey does Madden.
Yeah, which was a great movie. Boom. Then I got to talk in the way he talks, and then it got boring for me. So I turned him into that crazy character that
I'm not even saying words anymore. I'm just eating air. So
and he still gets, I imagine, a fortune from the Madden football.
I think they bought him out. I thought I heard something about that. I'm not sure about it, but he's not even in the game anymore.
Yeah,
he's
that's
just
be the
his name.
Way to go.
Yeah, he used to do the play or the color commentary. Yeah.
There are probably young people playing it that don't even know who he
is. Nobody, they don't know who he is. Not at all. You go, hey folks, John Madden here. Oh yeah, there's a guy with a video game like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody says you play Madden. Are you going to play Madden? Let's go play Madden.
Well, I'd heard years ago that they wanted to change the game. They tested it to see if what it would be without John Madden, and nobody knew what the game was. And they had to keep it calling it Madden because people don't call it. They don't call it Madden NFL. They just call it Madden. That's the game.
Mm, good choice, though. It's like the George Foreman grill. You don't see them changing the name of that thing.
You can't.
Did you know that George Foreman wasn't their first choice?
Hulk Hogan claims he was one of the first.
They offered it.
And Tyson, didn't they?
People kept turning it down.
The Hulk Hogan group?
Let me tell you something, brother.
Well, Hulk doesn't need the money anymore.
No.
Amazing what a good attorney can do for you.
Yeah.
We got a lot to get to today, and I suppose we could start with the horrific, terrifying news in sports. The New York Yankees.
Any Indians fans in the house?
New York Yankees. Good.
Oh, they pulled it out, huh?
No, yeah, the Yankees have advanced the American League Championship Series. All is right with America against Houston. Didi Gregorius. Didi homered twice and three RBIs. Yankees win 5-2 at Cleveland. So Cleveland up 2-0 in the best of five. Yankees come back and win the next three.
Ugh. There is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out.
The Yankees are the 10th team.
Don't get me wrong. It's not. I don't hate the Yankees. I hate their fans.
That might be
now that,
all right, sir.
More inflammatory.
The douche with the brown Yankees hat. I don't know where that came from. At my grocery store, I refuse to get in his line.
This isn't
going to
stop. It's going to keep getting different, more colors for sports.
It's immoral.
I think it kind of started with St. Patrick's Day with the green things. And
I kind of get that, but you know, when you start having...
I like a nice khaki team hat. Why not, right? You're going to yuppie out? You can't wear a burgundy hat. You got to wear a khaki.
Oh, but the logo is still the same
colors. Logo's still there. Logo's still on there.
I don't know.
No?
I don't know. Right. What's next? The American flag and green, subtle chartreuse, mauve.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Let me make this more relatable. I'll make this more relatable. Say you're a Crip or who's the bad guys, the Sharks? Who are their...
Crips and the Sharks.
Oh, the Bloods, I think it is.
Yes.
You don't see those guys. Well, for St. Patrick's Day, my man, I'm wearing a green... No. They stick to their colors. I ask you, if this is America, Well, I can tell no one's
Al's
on my
team.
Be, I'm,
no, you're out there. Well, you're going alone.
I'm moving on. Crips and the Sharks. No, no, Bloods and the Crips. Sorry.
Right.
Be right back. This is the Bob and Tom Show. Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show. Special edition. Guest host. The return of the guest host. This time it's, oh, the world ping pong champion. Oh, wait a minute. The world table tennis celebrity champion, Frank Caliendo, is here in the studio with us.
You know, we got a table in the back, don't we? Is it still back there? I never go back there. It's dangerous back there.
There's a table in the back. Huh. Absolutely. Frank Caliendo is here with us. Frank, also known for his work on ESPN and many other fine television networks. Frank happens to be, as celebrity ping pong players go, you're one of the greats, I understand.
Yeah, there's like six, maybe, people. Susan Sarandon, she's not very good, but she's...
Well, the best one is...
Susan Sarandon's a great ping pong player?
No, she's not.
Oh, okay.
No, but she's
doesn't
invested.
She own some ping pong places?
Yeah, she's...
Oh, that's it.
I don't think she owns them, but she's tied in with them.
She dated some guy that was really into it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember all that.
I just forgot the name. Who's the guy with the hat and the glasses?
Judah Friedland.
Judah. He's a really good player, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's a world champion.
Well, he's a world champion.
World champion every.
Yeah, I'm universal champion.
Frank Caliendo is not going to be playing ping pong on the show. He's our...
I'll do it, though, if you really want to lose listeners. I'll play some table tennis for you.
I'm being reminded of a ping pong story we had in Josh's family.
I should explain this.
Yeah.
Now, Josh is a very fine comedian, just like Frank. And Josh's dad is a great American, a Vietnam combat veteran. We've spoken to Larry on the phone. Josh's brothers, very fine men. One of them currently is about to have his boat painted, courtesy of me, because we spent a lot of time naming his boat. None of this is very interesting, but the interesting thing is that sadly, a death in Josh's family. Your grandfather
and my grandmother—they died within 6 months of each other. But that's how they wanted to go. Mm-hmm. You know, it's actually happier than it sounds. Yeah,
but what's interesting?
Late 90s.
Yeah, and they led great lives. Good run.
75 years of marriage. Yeah.
And they spent their last years at a beautiful facility.
Yes, they loved it.
It's called assisted living. They had their own apartment,
and they really did love it. And they were both of their funerals took place.
We only have the audio of your grandpa's funeral.
Oh, okay. Well, they took place on site in a beautiful chapel
in the assisted living complex.
I love that
Tom gave me the hand as though I were going to interrupt at that point. No, guys go on with this. No. I'm fine
and
with where this is going.
You don't interrupt. It's implied. He doesn't really have to.
Really, no worries. I was
make emotion.
The only reason I'm talking now is because I saw the hand. Yeah. There was no. Well, I had no.
You know, I think that's when we kind of jumped the shark on this whole thing, is that he used to just do it to us. Now he does it to the guests.
But there was no glimmer in my eye. I had no interest in jumping in. I was not coming in for anything. It wasn't like I was coming up for air in the comedy drowning.
Frank, there's a certain solemnity to this story.
That's why he doesn't take a breath and talks of it. He's afraid somebody's going to say something.
That's right.
Well, Josh, you explain what happened.
Oh, well, no, I think we did. And well, so
but the
beautiful
is,
assisted living facility.
It's a complex.
My grandparents loved it.
It's a giant building.
And they requested that their funeral take place on the on-site chapel, which is right next door to the rec room.
Okay, and here's the audio from the...
Literally right next door.
Frank's got my forehead right there. Had no idea.
Wasn't it worth the wait?
And were this not completely accurate, I'd be angry about it.
That's pretty fast that they're playing, though.
Yeah.
It's the only a true table tennis.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking of the age. That's pretty quick, because usually as you get about that age, it... one hit and then on the ground.
Yeah. That's accurate.
Frank Caliendo is a very fine stand-up comedian, actor, and we're going to talk with Frank about what's going on in his life. But first, I want to mention he's going to be live and in person doing only a handful of appearances. This one happens to be at the Crystal Grand Theater in the Wisconsin Dells coming up a week from tomorrow. And we'll get some more information about that and some other shows that Frank's involved in. But we were talking a little bit of sports, and you mentioned the tragic loss of the Cleveland Indians.
Or the excited win for the Yankees fans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Good.
Depends on how you look at it.
Are you a Yankees fan?
I'm not.
No, but you're kind of acting like one.
Only because he's...
Because you just like them so much.
Yes,
so
because I dislike them, therefore.
That's the yin-yang.
And yeah. He wants to make it clear he's not really mad at the Yankees. He doesn't care for the Yankee fans.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say this. My father was a lifelong Indian fan. I mean, my dad would talk about seeing Babe Ruth when they came to town. And I mean, literally, all the greatest. He'd seen them all in person.
Didn't go to the game. Just would see him at the bars.
What was the name of the guy, the TV star your dad made you go say hi to and you didn't know who it was?
Horace McMahon.
Yeah, we all said that, too.
What?
What was he in?
Oh, he was in a TV cop show. I was a little boy. We were in New York City, and we were at this famous place.
Was it Sardi's or one of those?
Sardi's
places?
East, yeah.
And, Sardi's East.
Now, Tommy, you go say hello.
Son of a bitch. I recognize Horace McMahon.
Really?
I think you guys will, too.
Yeah, very handsome.
Doesn't he look familiar?
Not. He gave me a napkin. He was sitting at the bar, plastered, I'm sure, and some little boy walks up. Hi, my dad wants me to get your autograph. The point is...
Yes, what is the point? Yes.
But my dad had seen all the greats.
And he signed a cigarette and gave it to you.
Yeah. he was smoking. Oh, I remember that.
Oh, sorry, sure.
Oh, I bet.
But my dad...
Hey, kid, want to drag?
My dad didn't firmly... He disliked a lot of... He had kind of a list, you know, like a list.
Oh, so that's where you get it.
Oh, okay.
I have a list of people I want dead.
Oh,
he just had a list.
He just disliked
them.
Yeah.
Okay. At the very top of his list was George Steinbrenner. He would always call him a horse's ass. Just everything about him he hated.
See, you guys, your family's on a whole nother. They had a feud with the Steinbrenners.
Sure.
Okay.
My dad had actually. My
kind
dad,
of a one-way feud.
My dad had some dealings with him.
Oh, no kidding.
And
personally,
he thought he was the biggest horse's ass in the world. But he was a rich horse.
But he liked Horace McMahon.
Yeah. I sat at dinner with him once and had a lovely
Horace
time.
McMahon. It sounds like a character required reading in school.
Horace McMahon.
Yes.
Anyway.
The high school's doing the life of Horace McMahon.
So go, yeah. As the great Doug Stanhope said, rooting for the Yankees is like rooting for the house at a casino.
Yankees advance to the ALCS against the Houston Astros. I still can't get used to that. D.D. Gregorius, homer twice, 3 RBIs, 5-2 win at Cleveland. Yes, Cleveland was up 2-0 in this best of 5. And yes, the Yankees came back and won 3 straight. Steven Strasburg, 7 innings. Michael A. Taylor, a grand slam. Nationals blank the Cubs 5-0 in Chicago. Force a fifth game tonight in the NLDS in Washington, 8 o'clock Eastern. We'll see where that one goes.
Yeah, because Washington hasn't had the best luck at home.
So. If you had a list of letters like NLDS,
yeah,
CBS, NBC,
ALCS,
SOL, how many do you think you could recognize? LSMFT, you know, the big ones.
Frank, do you know what LSMFT means? I hate to drag you into this conversation.
No.
I feel kind of lonely when you start talking like this. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. It was
one of the famous
advertising.
I think that whole thing was.
You know,
Horace McMahon was in that.
Yes, right. Exactly.
That's what he was smoking at the bar.
Now our guest is getting me. You know,
chicks rubbing off on me.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Talk to me in an hour and a half.
And NSFW.
NSF, not safe for work.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I bet the average person in America knows probably, I would say, 400 or 500 of those.
Oh, I bet teenagers know the most.
But I mean, nobody understands.
They all talk.
Nobody in your whole life, you get them. You know, NFL,
POS, right?
NLDS,
parent over shoulder.
I had to look one up. Yet,
POS is parent over shoulder.
Yes, so yes.
I have always heard it's the other. What you're thinking?
Yeah,
too. It's parent over shoulder.
Piece of shoulder.
Yeah,
that's right.
Wait a second. Hold it. POS is.
Parent over shoulder.
Right.
Oh, I shouldn't have called
mine. Welcome to the
whoops.
Conversation. We just said that 30 seconds ago. You didn't hear either me or Chris.
It didn't sink in. Well, you know the famous story about LOL.
Oh, sure. It has two meanings.
Yeah. It's particularly in Britain, LOL, lots of love. And, you know, people would say, you know, where she's going in for her surgery today.
Sending her lots of LOLs. Or
LOL.
They would just say LOL, and then other people go laughing out loud.
Why are we laughing out loud at that?
That's cruel. Kind of,
yeah. Do you guys put LOL in your texts?
Of course not.
I do. Do you?
I do.
I always find
I capitalize them all.
Chick does it fun though. Yeah.
Yeah.
I put ha. I just write ha. Period.
I'm usually ha exclamation point.
That's how I am.
Or ha two caps exclamation point if it's great. However, if anyone ever uses more than one exclamation point, I delete whatever it is.
Really?
It could be these are the directions to save your soul. Sorry, delete.
No. Oh, do you?
One he hasn't enough. Gotten any of your texts in the last 2 years.
No, he hasn't.
2 years.
Not,
no.
Delete. Delete.
That explains why I never respond.
Right?
I responded to the one you sent me yesterday.
Yeah.
Can I read that?
Sure, I don't care.
I also put down ha when I don't know what else to put.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you don't know, they might be joking.
Right.
They might be giving you a fact. They just go, ha. And they're like, why is that funny? again. Keep putting ha.
I don't really know what you're trying to say.
Well, Frank, I guess we're twins because the first thing I pop up just is ha.
Yeah, yeah. Twinsies.
A little, having a little exchange with comedian Richard Bowden. I just went, ha, Richard.
So, how's his hemorrhoids, by the way?
Well, ha. You don't want to hear that story.
No, we don't want to hear that story.
Put it this way.
Ha means a lot of stuff, like leave me alone. Ha could mean leave me alone.
It means that's
blah,
funny.
Blah, 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 ha.
It's like, dude.
Chick and I have started using and so on.
And so on. And the finger emoji with one finger up.
Yes, yeah. But and so on is sort of like, all right, we're done.
I will enjoy it.
We're done with whatever pun fest we're on.
Yeah, do you use emojis?
I don't.
Okay.
I use them as a joke sometimes.
I made my own emoji of me last night. You can do this, you know.
No.
What? Oh, you're already in there.
It's called the bit emoji.
Oh, the bit emoji.
The bit emoji.
Yeah, I have that.
You had to think of which one I was talking about. I didn't even have one.
I have one.
I did not have one, but I wanted to see what your reaction would be. You were even thinking Christmas tree at that. Is he using Christmas tree for me?
Okay, so here's an example of a communication I got from Christy. It's the picture of a back of a Ford automobile and a very attractive woman holding a license plate next to the license plate that's on the car. So there are then two license plates.
Oh, indicating she has a new
license plate. She has a new license plate. All right. Right.
And the license plate.
And they're not.
Her new one has a generic.
They're
number.
Not. No, they're not personalized. I don't think the first one was personalized either. I think that's the whole thing.
It just says New Jersey Garden
yeah,
State.
Yeah, it was just the random luck of the draw.
The license on the car, you may want to write this down, Josh, is letter L.
Yes.
Numeral 8, numeral 4.
All right, so okay.
Space.
4.
ANL. Now, so, if you read that in whatever that numeral code is, that means late for anal.
So imagine having to drive around.
The lady just writes, it's official, my new license is here, I'm no longer late for anal.
And now she has like a normal license.
Although, I'll tell you what, she'd be pretty good on time.
All right.
So now her new license plate is I, numeral 8.
Hang on a second.
J-I-Z.
You've got 7 kids, and you're hitting on this woman now? Is that what you're doing?
I'm just saying she's very attractive.
All right.
God, that's funny.
Hey, it's your world, bro.
You would have thought that maybe someone at the license, they would have some computer thing that would spit out anal.
Yeah, I mean as a
license plate. Not,
yeah, right. Not as the hobby.
Not like some kind of weird ATM.
No, why would you?
Okay, sorry. This has gotten. Oh, I apologize, Frank. I know that your act is clean.
Not anymore.
Frank Caliendo is our guest, and I don't know why we're dragging him through the mud. I blame you. This is something about the New York Yankees.
I didn't do anything.
So you can make your own.
I'm doing less every minute. Haven't you noticed?
Mine.
I'm trying to see. Chick, you drew this emoji.
I just
that's
sent
great.
Chick one.
That's amazing.
So it's an app you can get. I sent it to Chick.
I sent my emoji to Tom.
Oh, it's great.
Oh,
all right. It looks like a.
Yeah, why would we all be
like Chick drinking a cup of coffee?
You know,
just keep us in the dark, Chick.
Well, no, I don't.
You have my number.
Do I?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's.
Is it still
move
the
forward.
Same?
Yeah, I don't change it ever.
So now we're on the phone on the air.
Okay. Let's move forward here. We have. We have more sports to get to.
I want to see the emoji.
I'll show you in a minute, Frank. This is radio.
No, he can send it to me directly. This is going to happen. You're going to send it to me.
You're going to send it to me, and you're going to.
Jeez.
They're pretty accurate.
Boston Red Sox have fired John Farrell. He's out.
Okay.
They dropped their division series for the second straight year, eliminated by the Astros on Monday. NFL news, Tom Brady says, rest easy, America.
Chick, Tom has a question.
Don't worry about my left shoulder. Yes, go ahead.
I'm trying to stay on topic. Mm-hmm. No, we were talking about we were talking about ping pong earlier. Because our guest is one of my favorite human beings. He's Frank Caliendo, a great dad.
I sent you the emoji, Frank.
A swell guy, happens to be a very talented comedian. But Frank is a very, very, for example, how many table tennis paddles does a Frank Caliendo?
Oh, I probably have 15 different.
Yeah, so you are to ping pong paddles what Dean is to guitars, although he has more than 100. But you don't want me to say that.
Yeah, mine are signed by famous ping pong players.
Oh, really?
No, no.
Nice.
But Dean is not a very good ping pong player with the guitar.
Yeah, that's hard
he ruined a classic Martin time. But the point being, this is a technical question. If when you're playing, do you mind if I call it ping pong?
I don't care. You know that's a brand, right? That's what that is.
Really? It's like Kleenex?
Oh, so ping pong is a brand of table tennis equipment?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I didn't know that.
I mean, I don't care.
So it's like Frisbee or...
Yeah. Yeah,
I always prefer I have that common touch, Frank. I'm sure you've noticed
that. Oh, yeah.
The point being, the phrase, you put a little English on the ball.
Uh-huh.
You know, give it a little spin. Mm-hmm. Do they say that in England as well?
We could go there and find out, or I guess we could call somebody.
I think English in that way is a word, so it would be used.
Put a little of our language on it.
You put a little English on it? Just asking.
That's one of the definitions of English, I think.
Okay, so they would use that even in England. Just asking.
I don't know where that came from. Do you know where that saying came from?
No, do you ever play table tennis in England?
No. I've never been to a different country other than like Mexico or Canada.
Those are both different countries.
Yeah. But I mean outside, I mean I've never flown.
I know what you mean, Frank.
Same continent.
I understand,
never,
Frank.
Same
yeah.
I've remember what I said 10 continent. Minutes ago? The forehead's you're going to start rubbing it a lot.
Yeah. I'm starting to see how your demise.
Yeah, that's right. This has happened overnight.
I'm starting to. I'm becoming amazed that you can form words still.
I know.
I'd be just like.
You wouldn't know this, but Chick is only 28 years old.
Right.
He's the exactly ray in the beard. Right. I've just been informed that in some context, when you put "ha" to someone, it means horse's ass. I can't keep up with this.
I
cannot keep
up. I don't know that anybody would.
Never.
You know who sent that to you? Some horse's ass.
That's so ha back. We're going to come back. We'll catch up with sports. Coming up, we have our tribute to the movie It. Lots of cool requests. If you want to make a request or just make a comment, if you just want to say how much you love Frank Caliendo via text, how would one do that, Josh?
Oh, it's quite easy. You text us. Real simple. 866.
No.
What?
888.
Jesus.
It's not as easy as you thought, is it?
We're gonna have to buy 866 because we're going to... 888.
It's 262. L84.
No.
You're not helping. Now you're turning into...
No, it's more fun to try and ruin the show.
Yes. Keeping me alive.
What is it? 888-262-8661.
We'd love to hear from you. Whatever you've got to say. We've got some great stuff coming up today. Also, we'll be joined. Oh, that'll help. Han will be in here. The great comedian Greg Hahn. Al Jackson.
He puts the ha in Han.
Send us your all the code words that you know. LSMFT, LFMBQ, what is it?
LMNOP. I don't know.
There are so many of them.
And the people who read the texts are, they're tying up the nooses.
Have you ever seen the home videos where the guy's got the bat on the ground and he's spinning around? They're playing a game, like a backyard barbecue. That's what you sound like a lot of the time now. Where you spun around and you're...
Hi, everybody.
Sorry, coming up here in a minute.
Just doing my job.
Franklin Greg.
Be right back.
Here.
This is the Bob and Tom Show. Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show. I'm giving up all help.
I'm down to your level, right? I made it.
That's
You're talking my language, Frank.
Yeah. 48 minutes. Yeah. Congratulations.
That's the voice of comedian Frank Caliendo here in the Napa Auto Parts Studios, and the Bob and Tom program is here. That's Chick McGee. That's Josh. That's Christy Lee in her new, very attractive gray sweater.
Sweater coat.
Very nice,
yes.
Christy. Congratulations.
Thank you. It wouldn't offend you. It's gray. It doesn't shock you.
About to get two. Move on.
Yankees won last night 5-2 at Cleveland, eliminating the Indians from the NLDS. Yes, the Indians won the first two. Yes, the Yankees won the last three. Steven Strasburg, 7 great innings, and the Nationals blanked the Cubs 5-0 in Chicago. Game 5 tonight in Washington at 8 o'clock Eastern. The Red Sox have fired their manager, John Farrell. And NFL Patriots quarterback Tom Brady is telling New England fans, don't worry, my left shoulder injury kept me out of practice early in the week. I'm fine. He says he'll be on the field Sunday to play the Jets in a fight for first place in the AFC East. Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford able to practice despite his right ankle issue. Hello, Dinata.
Hello.
Detroit Lions.
De nada.
Hello, Didi.
Gracias.
He has a bobo.
A little Spanish, Frank. I'm familiar with it. See? I'm semi-fluent.
Packers wide receiver Jordy Nelson.
Full help.
Participant. Soldiering on during Wednesday's workout, a minor back injury. Speaking of Jordy, He's a wide receiver for the Packers, of course. He's adopted a daughter.
All right.
He did that just before the team's win against the Cowboys. He adopted daughter Ada Joe with his wife in San Antonio on Friday last week. Ada Joe is the couple's third child and second adoption. Nelson also serves as an ambassador for the adoption organization Jackie Being Family Foundation.
Doesn't Ada Joe sound like some sort of promotion at Denny's? Like you can get a Grand Slam Ada Joe for 79 cents.
Ada Joe!
That's a great guy, though. I'm so tired of hearing all the negative stuff about the NFL. Nice story.
Yeah,
very nice story.
Good guy. Did you see the thing about it? They had the profile. That baby, the brand new baby, was the only person in the stadium who drooled more than Jerry Jones during the game. So... You know, he autographed the baby, by the way.
Oh, did he?
Didn't spike it, fortunately.
Yeah, thank you.
You don't want to do that to a baby.
No.
Yes. Let's see.
Jerry Jones. Glad they won, by the way.
Who? The Packers?
Yeah, the Packers won,
yeah.
Remember?
Right. Last month.
Okay. Jerry Jones is the only owner in football that's bigger than the stars of his team.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
On purpose.
It's amazing, and I've always been amazed by the interviews that he'll do, that when the team's not doing well, they'll go after him, right? They'll start to go, no, what's the problem with the team? You are owner, general manager, and by the end of the interview, he'll have them, the reporter, believing it's their fault.
I believe that as the owner, manager, general counsel of the Dallas Cowboys, that we will be doing the best we can.
Yes, Mr. Jones, I'm sorry I bothered you.
No, sorry about
but you watch those interviews, and from the beginning, they attack him, and then by the end of it, they're always going, I'm so sorry for being here.
You raised the two good points there. Do you think he's the most well-known owner of a team?
Cuban is the only other one. In basketball.
Yeah, I was trying to think of other sports. I think you're right.
Yeah,
I don't know how many I could come up with.
Well, Snyder in Washington gets kind of a bad rap because at least...
Because they're usually awful.
Jerry Jones.
Oh, is he?
I'm being you along. For you.
Okay, thank you.
I don't like it.
You just got checked.
But at least Jerry, I mean, at least Snyder lets Gruden coach the team. I mean, in Dallas, you'd never know that poor little Jason Garrett's trying to coach his team.
I didn't even know who the coach was. I thought it was Jerry Jones.
There you go.
I did a sketch a couple years ago with Jerry Jones, had a Jason Garrett puppet.
Now say what I say. Now tell him what I want you to say.
Tell him what I want you to say.
Did you have to learn ventriloquism for the bit?
No, I just didn't move my mouth.
You know, Frank, I don't know if he'll talk about it, but Tom was quite the ventriloquist when he was a child. He had two or three puppets.
Did you have the record? Did you learn from the record? Ventriloquism record, which is always great because when you have an audio-only way of learning how to be a ventriloquist...
I wasn't aware they had a record.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. They did.
Yeah, I had one. I know I had one.
It came with a puppet, didn't it? Or maybe for 79 cents, you add a Joe and get a record.
Add a Joe. Yeah, I had three primary dummies. Then I had dozens of puppets.
They're not the dummies.
What were your dummies'
names?
What
did you have? Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snurd?
No, I had the other era.
Those are Edgar Burns.
Did you name them?
Knucklehead Smith?
No, they came with names.
They came with names. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Jerry Mahoney.
Yeah, Jerry Mahoney. Smith.
Do you know at one time in this
Knucklehead
country,
Smith?
The number one radio
program. That was Charles Barkley's Knucklehead Smith. Knucklehead.
The number one radio program in America was Edgar Bergen
Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Well, you should bring your puppets
radio.
In. Why don't we have a puppet?
It's time we go back to our radio roots.
Do you still
have
those?
Chick, I got news for you. You are the puppet.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, you're right.
Hey, I tell you.
I don't feel a hand up now. Okay.
Yeah, I don't have them anymore.
Okay.
They were around until about 3 years ago.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, they were at my mom's house. But you know, unless my sister took them when she cleaned out the place, I couldn't go in. I didn't want to go in.
Oh, that sounded like you started a fire with them. They were around until a couple of years
it
ago.
It does sound like your
then
mother.
They went too far.
Some sort of dementia started burning. Some sort of dementia started burning puppets or something.
No. It's all
okay. I'm glad they're gone.
I like Josh's. No, they went too far this time.
You've been staring at me with that same look. It's you and Chick.
I'm sure they're all sort of half rotted. They look like Annabelle.
No, they were. They held
Annabelle.
Up.
Oh,
did you have them in a nice case?
No, they were kind of in large plastic bags, but they, okay. They were up in the attic.
Just like all the others.
Yeah. I want an honest answer. Do you miss them? That's a yes.
Tom is the only person on the planet who could say, I kept my ventriloquist dummies in a plastic bag. In a serious way.
Sure.
They're up in the attic?
Yes.
I mean, they were around when I was a kid all the time.
Sure, yeah.
Now you've
got kids now.
And I have puppets.
Yeah. So do you throw your voice when you're doing the puppets?
Throwing your voice is really, you really don't throw it anymore.
Amaze your friends.
Amaze your friends.
I when you're doing it for example, for my 1.5-year-old, she's...
Give me an example.
Okay, we have a running gag.
Okay.
You and the 1.5-year-old?
Yeah, and the 4.5-year-old. The mm-hmm. running gag is I keep the puppets are in a drawer by her bed, and we read a book every night, but then she has Hoppy, the rabbit that she mm-hmm. has with her at all times,
mm-hmm.
and then there's Hoppy, volume 2. Volume
How'd you
three.
Name the
named,
rabbit?
She
oh,
named,
oh, she names,
Hoppy.
Okay.
So she's got the rabbit, and then
because the creativity naming a rabbit Hoppy is staggering.
When you're 2.5, I think not bad.
Okay.
But the running gag is that...
Hopping gag.
The frog is terrified of rabbits.
Ah.
Of course.
So she'll hide Hoppy, and we'll be lying in her bed, and then we'll be doing some kind of little puppet show, and then all of a sudden, I'll be using her Hoppy as the puppet and talking, mm-hmm. and you know, hello everyone. And he has an English accent.
Oh
sure,
of course.
But the running gag.
What rabbit doesn't?
The running gag is, and the Hoppy's trick is that Hoppy's a magician, and he'll flop his ears over his eyes, and he can identify any creature.
Oh,
but if he sees a frog, he goes berserk. So it's a pretty simple gag. So every night, and eventually, the frog comes out, and Hoppy goes, ha! End of show. Huge applause. Time to read a book.
I would watch
go
that
to bed.
Show.
I would watch that show too. Sounds fabulous.
You should syndicate that, possibly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
The Hoppy Show.
But I'm getting back into puppet mode. So you do different voices and it's fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she loves the puppets and I've got a whole bunch. I probably got 2 dozen puppets.
Does the frog speak?
In tones.
Okay.
That's good. That's a very good question. That's yeah. a very no. The frog never says.
Frog
anything.
Never says.
The frog
anything.
Doesn't talk.
No. Frog. Come on, Frank.
Well, frog. Can...
Of course, the frog.
Have you seen
talk.
The build a puppet kits?
You know what? I wouldn't. I'm sorry.
Oh no, no.
Yeah, we'll come back with this and actually some interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I want to know why the frog's not named Hoppy.
Good point.
Why not?
You'll have to talk to her. She's in charge.
Does
of
the
that.
Frog have a name?
No.
Jumpy.
We'll be right back. This is the Bob and Tom Show. Hello. Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show. We're live in the Napa Auto Parts Studios. Our guest host today, legendary comedian Frank Caliendo.
Frank!
You've seen him on ESPN several years ago. He may or may not have ruined the playoffs for you in the World Baseball advertising. Frank Caliendo Show.
He had one of my all-time favorite vines, Frank. It was Morgan Freeman looking in his fridge for milk.
Oh, and there eats himself. That's yep. when he realized he had no milk for his cereal. And soon Morgan Freeman would be headed to the grocery store.
Ladies and gentlemen, Frank Caliendo. Frank is a father of two, husband of one, resident of Phoenix, Arizona, and a high-quality ping pong player. Oh, sorry, table tennis player. Owner of 15 paddles. Do the paddles have cases like pool cues where you screw them together?
Yeah. I keep them in a trombone case like Roy Hobbs in The Natural.
Nice.
Wonder Boy.
Do they have
different?
On
do they have different surfaces in each side? So
yeah.
Can...
Well, that's the thing. Is,
really?
Yeah.
I was kidding.
No, because that's why they're two colors. So you can tell what some people have like a real spinny side, and then there's a thing called anti, which takes the spin off the ball. So It used to be that they would have the same color on each side, and then they would what's called twiddling. So you spin it, and they wouldn't know which side you're hitting it with, and then. They made it so it had to be each side had its own color, one black and one red, and so you could tell what they were putting on the ball.
No. Have you ever considered what it would be like if John Gruden were narrating?
I tell you what, man, it'd be pretty good.
If he were actually doing play by play on a table tennis match.
All right, there's Ma Long. This guy is doing a tremendous job. He could take a backhand from any part of the table, man. I tell you what, I love that. But then John Ove Waldner, I tell you what, I'm not even sure if that's how you say it. Waldner from like Sweden or something, man. I didn't even know they played table tennis over there, huh? Dude, I love watching.
Are those real names of real tennis?
Yeah, Ma Long's like the number one player in the world.
You ever met him?
No.
No, you've met some presidents, right?
Have I met?
Didn't you meet the younger George Bush?
I never met George Bush. I was supposed to meet him. It was at the Super Bowl in Dallas, and I'd gotten the Secret Service let me through and everything. I was at Fox, and if you remember in that Super Bowl in Dallas, it was the Steelers versus the Packers, and Madden and George W. Bush were sitting right next to each other. Actually, Jerry Jones was in between them for a while, and they had me ready to go, and they didn't want to interrupt them talking. So I was ready to go. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. you want to pretend like we're doing play-by-play of table tennis?
Boom, that'd be pretty good.
I did that myself one time, man. I love that. Mile long.
By all accounts, even the staunchest Democrat said George W. Bush had a great sense of humor. So I bet he would have loved.
Yeah, the thing I always heard about George W. Bush was that on television he was awful. In person, no matter what the politics were, of the people, he was like the greatest guy to be around.
He just put his hand on your shoulder.
Yeah.
And we're friends.
You know, and I years ago I did a sketch with Donald Trump. I probably talked about that before too. I don't know. I'll rehash it. What's the difference? It's I'm getting old. I could tell stories over and over. So we're doing a sketch for Fox. It was probably about 8 years ago, 7-8 years ago, he was running for president. And one of the jokes I did during, I've decided to run for president. Now I've decided to not run for president. Now I've decided to not run for president. I'm not even sure if I'm running anymore. And he was cool with all the jokes. But halfway through, something went wrong and he went, wait a second. Does everybody think this is good? Do you think this is good? Around the room. Yes, Mr. Trump. It's fantastic, Mr. Trump. It's great, Mr. Trump. Great, Mr. Trump. I was like, wait. Does anybody ever say something isn't good? And he's like, no, Frank, that's part of the problem. I can't get real answers.
Wow.
So, yeah, he knew the joke. It was amazing. So then, because this is the thing that was always interesting to me. And again, I'm a middle of the road kind of person. I'm not going anywhere on the political side of this. But he was a character on TV and he was totally different. He was self deprecating in person. He was like a totally, then the camera would go on, is like, okay, we're starting, and he would just become this other person. So we get done with the sketch, and he's like, do you have a couple of seconds? I'm like, sure. So we get into this elevator. We're at Trump Tower where we did the sketch. We get into the elevator. The elevator stops in between floors. And I'm like, worried Journey's going to start playing, and it's going to be like, you know,
this is it. We had a lot of fun, but now it's over.
So we go down to the first floor, and he goes, do you see that Starbucks up there? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, that's the number one Starbucks. Not just Howard Schultz called me. And it's not just
actually
the CEO. We're good friends. We're tremendous friends. Unless we're talking in public about each other, we don't like each other. And then, so this is the number one Starbucks. And you would think on the first floor of Trump Tower, that would make sense. But it's on the second tower, or the second floor. And you have to take this escalator, the number one escalator.
And I'm like, is anything ever not number one?
And he goes, well, if it was, it wouldn't be Trump.
So
God, that's funny.
So he takes me over to this kiosk on the first floor, and he's like, do you wear ties? I'm like, sure. He's like, it starts handing me ties. He's like, do you wear cufflinks? I'm like, not yet. So then he starts handing me the cufflinks, and he's like, this is my favorite question. Are you married? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, do you like your wife? Where is this going?
Because behind this door, I have a complete and utter, an amazing harem. There's a group of ladies.
Number one.
The number one harem. They don't even know they're in this country. So we're going to make harems great again.
So he gives me this watch, and it's a diamond-studded watch, and I'm like, okay. So I'm trying to mentally get. By the way, he pulls the price tag off the watch as he hands it to me. And years later, I was talking to him on something, in a radio interview or something, and he was like, "Oh, you caught that?" I was like, "Yeah, I saw it." He was, "I thought that was a pretty smooth move." So he
gives me this watch, and it's in the first floor of Trump Tower in the kiosk, but it's also from Donald Trump. So I'm confused because the whole thing's happening so fast. We've just been stuck in between floors on the escalator or in the elevator. Would have been easier on the escalator, I guess. But what are we going to do? We're stuck in the middle of this escalator. We can't get down. Well, we could step down. We'll never do that. So he sends me out into New York City with what I think might be a super expensive watch and just worried I'm going to get mugged. And I realize the joke's on me. He just got me back because he sent me out, and I'm all worried. Is this really an expense? It turns out it was just the Melania collection, which is tremendous in its own right. But I send a picture to my wife, the internet was around, you know, but it wasn't. We didn't use it for everything. Like, we didn't depend on it to be our brain like mm-hmm. we do now. But she immediately checks with a jeweler because I didn't even know my wife had a jeweler. So I'm finding out information.
She's a woman.
But yeah, right? Turns out it was just that Melania collection. But she loved the watch. She doesn't know where it is now. But it was one of those things where, this is a watch from Donald Trump. And she said at the time, future president. She didn't say that.
Frank Caliendo is our guest. By the way, Frank Caliendo, you've seen him on TV lots. He's going to be doing a special live show at the Crystal Grand Theater in the Wisconsin Dells coming up a week from tomorrow. So check out Frank live and in person. He'll be back in his native state of Wisconsin, not too far from Madison. Right now, a couple things I want to mention. Coming up, comedian Greg Hahn, comedian Al Jackson, the trademarked, patented, copywritten, if that's a word, shoo-in of the week, starring Chick McGee, the NFL sports prognosticator. On the season thus far,
18-10 against the spread.
Against the spread. Pretty good, pretty good. This is the Bob and Tom Show. Hey, listen to that sound. That sounds pretty good. Well, it certainly is. This is the Bob and Tom Show, and we are coming to you live from the Napa Auto Parts Studio. We are worldwide on American Forces Radio. We have two world-class comedians in the studio. We have three world-class comedians in the studio. Thank you very much. Frank Caliendo has joined us in the Napa Auto Parts Studios. You know Frank from ESPN, from Fox. You've been on many, many a network.
And, currently on tour. Around.
Currently on tour. Don't forget Crystal Grand Theater a week from Friday. The Wisconsin Dells are calling. Great time to be up there. Also, joining us in the studio, it's the color. It's the fall color season. As the trees change, so does the hair on comedian Greg Hahn.
That's right, a little bird's eye maple today.
Bird's eye maple.
Yeah. Very nice.
Chocolate thunder. New shade of fake.
That's it. How are you, everybody? Thursday starts the weekend. Jaeger bombs and body shots. Woo! Get loose. Get out of there. Late lunch. Fake a hammy. Doctor's appointment. Get home early. Let's go. I do a whole show like this, Frank. Yeah, volume control issues.
Can't wait to see.
Who's ready for some introspective, nuanced musings?
The funny thing is I watched you writing stuff down, and you write like you talk.
Chicken scratch.
That's it. It's a very nice shirt, Greg Hahn.
Thanks,
that's
Chrissy.
What I said, and it got awkward, so I don't know. Maybe
it makes a statement. Statement is I shop by myself. Come on, do jokes. What is this, the check drop? Let's go. I'm not like other comedians. They use gimmicks, likability, timing, good material. None of that stuff in my program. Right. Pure panic. I don't get tased today. I'll be irate.
Greg, it's always a pleasure to see you. You make me
wakes
feel
you up.
Yeah, I was saying earlier, one of my sons called last night, and he's got a college assignment to write a paper about a contemporary comedian who would fit in perfectly in vaudeville. And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I went, wait a second. It's Greg Hahn.
So is he writing the paper on Greg Hahn?
Yeah.
Oh.
Great.
Did you know that?
No.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, and the professor is actually, well, it's too boring to explain, but yeah.
I'm fascinated. I'm riveted.
No, because, I mean, Han.
I don't know anything. I don't want to know more.
You know, Caliendo couldn't walk. If they pushed Frank on a stage in 1920 and he starts going, that John Gruden, they'd be going, what the hell's this?
Well, he'd do something. This guy tell you what, man, don't you love cranking up your car to get it started? He would be perfect for the time.
I'll tell you what, man.
He'd do a mean Henry Ford. How old's that guy? When's he going to die?
I'll tell you what. You ever hear of this assembly line?
Everybody's doing their part, man. You're like human machines.
So, point well taken, and I stand corrected. Obviously, Frank Caliendo could plug himself in, but I'm saying, who is a guy you could pretty much take, not change his act one bit, shove him on stage in 1920, and I think it would work.
Fine.
That's a compliment.
No, it's
he started as a compliment, and then
what happened?
His comedy.
It got sideways in the wine bar.
Mm-hmm. No, you capture sort of the essence of the human condition.
Whose act is so dusty and antiquated?
The phrase human condition.
The weird thing is he would be opening for John Fox, who would be doing the same act. John Fox, 1920. Two firemen walk into a smoke-filled room. No, it's great to see you, Greg.
Thanks for having me.
I meant that in the nicest way.
No, I appreciate it. Give me a break. Comedy's not my thing.
Okay.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I've seen Greg, and he kills, and is very funny. But I almost think I'd rather see you bombing. I'd rather see what happens just to see that energy continue.
It is very funny. Not for me.
Does that happen?
You've never bombed.
I have seen, of course. Not a bomb, but I have seen one thing. The worst thing that a comedian has to do is perform in front of a corporate audience that is drinking and not sitting down and not paying attention, and they're all talking to one another. And for my money, the greatest corporate comedian is Greg Hahn. Super clean, walks in. I've seen him just kill.
I'm not bad.
Are you doing corporate shows, Frank?
I do. I used to until today.
That's Frank Kelly.
Frank can do whatever he wants. You're on TV all the time. I would do a lot more TV if these guys that booked those shows didn't care so much about their jobs.
But I was with this one event, and Greg's up there just giving it all, and all these people are just so into themselves. They're talking and blah, blah. You've seen this. You've seen great bands get ignored.
Totally. It's awful.
There's nothing tougher than doing a show for multimillionaires and billionaires, because I've had to do that at like golf at things before, and you can't tell them what – they're all bosses. So if you try to tell them, watch, everybody immediately does I'm not watching. Mm-hmm. They go and do their own thing. That's the toughest thing in the world, the corporate shows. And then a lot of times you get a meeting planner. Those are the worst words I've ever heard, is meeting planner, because that means there's somebody who's got an idea that they're going to try something new for this group. And like, let's just do what's worked for the last 100 years. How about that? You know, a stage where everybody's facing, sitting down, focusing on the act. Right. No, let's do in the round, outside, just off the ocean. Yeah, that's great.
Up cocktail table.
Yeah.
No microphone, so it's natural.
Yeah. Across a moat.
Sure. Right.
And all the waitresses will be topless.
Yeah, right. And we'll have a fireworks display.
In a country where they don't speak any English.
Now, when you...
do that to me. Have you had that, Greg?
I've had everything.
Where they go...
I've had everything.
And it's probably better for you because I feel like you're much more universal than me. I'm very U.S.-centric. But they're like, 75% of the crowd is going to be from Japan. What?
Like, I remember I saw you. I've told you this before. You were doing a residency in Vegas. Great show. I went to see the show, and there must have been some bus tour that had gotten, I think they'd come straight from Tokyo.
Straight from Tokyo, on the bus.
And do you remember what, after the show, I told you, this particular group, they kind of sat there the whole time, and like, you would do Jim Rome,
right?
You know, AM radio sports stud, and they're all sitting there. But when you did
Domo Oregato!
When you did Schwarzenegger and Stallone, they went ballistic.
Yeah, you do the easy stuff. That's what just happened. I remember doing that in a thing for back when I had the show on Warner Brothers, then the WB,
that they did an international thing, and none of the stuff that I thought was interesting was working. So I just start doing Schwarzenegger going, get down! And like... and he's going, this is the oldest thing. Do more Forrest Gump. I'm like, okay.
I like to be close to the crowd. I like to be close to the audience. I tell them that. I can't emphasize that enough. Close! And once they're like, we need at least 15 feet for the roast beef. We're going to be bringing out the roast beef. I'm like, the roast beef is going to kill. Yeah, I'm a question mark.
I can't follow the roast beef.
They do that. They'll get like a $200 band, and they'll set up for the band, and then they'll be paying me a bunch of money. And I'm like, really, you're going to set up the whole room for the band at the end of the night that nobody's going to dance for, and you're paying me a ton of money. Why have me? Because you're ruining it for... I don't care. I always tell them it's not about me. It's about... I'm trying to do the best show for you. But they'll do that. And I used to have a thing in the contract that say must be... The way it was worded, they thought it was supposed to... The audience had to be 10 feet or further.
Really?
But no, I want you to be closer than 10 feet. Right, I want you to be right up on stage. And they would always, then you get there and you're like across a gym. Like,
right, everything's wrong. Everything's perfectly wrong.
But when it's right, it's
great.
Any
show I go to, I always say, I believe it. I believe it. Right? With the moat in front of the stage. Go ahead, Tom. You're promoting me? Don't let me interrupt.
No, I just wanted to say that with us in the studio, let's introduce our guest, shall we? We have the famous Chick McGee across the way, your sports.
Okay. Now, later on, when you think about this, you're going to say, boy, that chick, he was a real pain in the ass when Han was there. It wasn't me. It was him. Okay? I know how you get us confused.
Okay. One of my favorite things is, first of all, in the studio, the great Frank Caliendo, the great Greg Hahn. Right now, I want to mention Frank on the road, Wisconsin Dells, a week from tomorrow. The theater is the Crystal Grand, and I promise you they'll be focused and paying attention.
Yeah. Right?
Okay,
oh, yeah.
Good. That's the way to go. That's the way to go. Now, chick?
Yes,
one of my
sir.
Favorite things is when you try to set up one of Greg's bits and he doesn't know which one it is.
Yeah, that's it.
This is one of my favorite things.
I can't remember any that I like. Hang on a second.
It'll come to me. I'll just dive in.
I'll be chick.
How about one? Which one do you like?
My favorite one is how do you break up with a woman?
Oh, how do you break up with a woman? That's a good question. Is that one of my bits?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe.
Oh, the text message.
Yes,
we were talking about
text her. Yeah.
You got a text. 8 years. Good run. I'm out. Send. Block. Good.
Block.
And I've never used LOL. I heard you talking about LOL.
Yeah, LOL.
Who uses that? When I first read that, didn't you picture somebody reading what you wrote and laughing out loud for real? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Out loud. LOL. Send.
Sometimes if you really do laugh out loud, you have to say that in your text. I really did
laugh
out loud.
Yeah, I know. It's been ruined like everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's review. We finished sports, right?
Actually, the Buffalo Bills. Our last sports story of the day.
Okay.
There should be some sort of hallelujah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Something. You know how we do this. The Buffalo Bills have shared what kind of food feeds their players each and every week. How about...
Tom hates
a
lot.
This
stories.
Is a story.
Oh, does he? 700 pounds of rotisserie chicken. Assistant strength and conditioning coach Will Greenberg said the food in the Bills cafeteria serves about 250 people a day. It's as healthy as possible. 700 pounds of rotisserie chicken.
Bet the plumber there wears a belt.
250 pounds
with a
plunger
God.
On it.
That's why you wanted to do
no,
the story?
Wow.
So we could do a poop joke?
How much poop?
God.
250 pounds of salmon, 400 to 500 pounds of beef each week. A green vegetable.
No cheese.
A green vegetable or healthy starch is paired with each protein, leading the team to consume an average of 60 pounds of broccoli per day.
That's a gassy bunch.
To stay hydrated, the Bills go through
those huddles.
Now we know how broccoli affects Christy.
52 cases of water per week.
Never eat broccoli on a day.
Over 7,000 ounces of smoothies every week. In order to meet the needs of the Bills offensive linemen, who average 320 pounds apiece, players consume higher volumes of lean protein and vegetables. Pro Bowl guard Richie Incognito. Once again, no one is really sure what he looks like or what his
right
name
now,
is. Attempts to eat 9 servings of vegetables each day. Greenberg works with a nutritionist twice per week to determine menus for players.
No wings?
No wings?
Chicken was met. 700 pounds
buffalo?
Of rotisserie chicken.
Oh, Buffalo. That's right. Got it.
Buffalo Bills.
Although I assume these numbers are a lot lower now that the Ryans are gone. Sorry. Two stout fellows.
Rex.
Large man, yeah.
Rex Ryan and Rob. Have you seen the promos they're doing on ESPN between two Ryans?
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
Okay. Now, we were earlier discussing the fact that I, you asked me about my dummies when I was a kid.
Yes.
And I mentioned that I had three dummies.
Mm-hmm.
And
that doesn't sound politically correct. Dummies, ventriloquist puppets. I don't know.
Well, there's a distinction. I think a puppet typically is considered to be like a hand puppet, then a marionette on the strings. I did have a couple marionettes. Those are great, but they're hard to perform with. And then I had a
strings make them difficult.
You get them all tangled up. Probably.
Tom's not a string player.
Takes about a half hour to get the strings untangled.
It's true. Yeah, and then the hand. Someone pointed out that. So I would sit around, as I mentioned, playing with my three puppets. I think we have an actual recording of me saying this, I've been told.
Okay.
That's what this is. Yeah, I had three primary dummies, then I had dozens of puppets. Now, someone pointed out listening, that sort of sounds like my life now.
Yeah.
that
means the three of us are dummies.
Oh, I got it.
Sure.
I got it.
Yeah. I didn't say this. One of our listeners said I
three primary dummies.
Tom is recreating his job.
Dozens of puppets.
Now, Frank asked if I had the record of the recording of how to become a ventriloquist.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Hello, students. I am Edgar Bergen.
And I am Charlie McCarthy.
That's amazing!
See, now...
We sound exactly the same.
Idiot.
Right now, I'm not moving my lips much.
Now, I know it's radio.
Not much at all.
But this was not a video. This was just a... Hey, let's continue.
Yeah. And I'm Mortimer... Mortimer Snurd. Yeah. On this record, I'm going to tell you the secrets of ventriloquism.
Oh.
I'm going to show you how to get laughs.
What are you going to show us, Mortimer? I'm going to show you how to be stupid. Well, that you can do. In the following lessons, exercises, and voice demonstrations, you can learn the ventriloquist art. On this record, I have included comedy routines that you can study. And you.
Well, you get the idea.
Oh, have we done those bits?
There's a reason, Tom. Shut that off right then.
All my best materials on that damn record.
Oh, God, that's funny. That is funny. Now, should I keep going? Uh-oh, I've been told
God.
To keep going.
Oh, God. Entertain your friends. Mm. Incidentally, human beings aren't the only creatures who can throw their voice.
What?
You don't say, my.
There's a variety of Canadian rabbits that makes a high-pitched, hard-to-locate sound. It completely fools their rabbit's enemies, who think he's somewhere off in the field.
You know, I was talking to a rabbit the other day. He was on his way to see a doctor.
Oh, I see why.
Here we go.
Because he felt kind of jumpy.
Ah. The
yeah,
class.
Thank you.
Son of a
wait a second.
I just said that Monday.
That reminds me of Hoppy.
Yes.
Yes.
My little girl's puppet. She thought of that when she was 2.5. Wow, that is, that's
you got to take it back. Han would not work in vaudeville.
No?
Oh, you'd kill.
I'm kidding.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Let's build a time machine and find out.
You'd have a flower with squirted water and stuff?
Yeah, like I did when I had a corporate job.
That's right.
So your son is writing a paper about Greg Hahn.
That's correct.
As Greg Hahn would say, automatic F! All right!
He may have to call you. I forgot to tell you that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true. He called me last night. And we have one of Willie's videos that we've just put a link on. I don't know where. I think we tweeted it out. It's a parody of those videos of stoners analyzing pot now.
Oh, yeah. I saw that
those
yesterday.
Are super popular. Yeah, these guys are, you know, firing it up and talking about how it's affecting them. He has a parody of one. It's about 60 seconds. I think we tweeted that thing out, I think.
Yeah, it was up yesterday. I saw it on social media.
It's really funny. It's real short. That's Willie. But he is writing, indeed, a paper on Greg Hahn. Now, Christy, we have time for another quick news story.
Well, we have a Southern Indiana man who's been arrested after police say he impersonated law enforcement officers from several agencies in order to get free or discounted food at Taco Bell.
Can't blame this man.
I can't blame him at all.
Delicious.
According to the arrest report, 21-year-old Dalton Barnett was arrested in the early morning hours of Wednesday, October 11th.
If you'd like Josh and Chick at your Taco Bell later, just give us a call.
A deputy with a Scott County Sheriff's Office wrote that the department received a report. A man was driving around Scott County, Indiana, with a badge, a BB gun on his hip, and possibly a real 9mm under his driver's seat of a Ford Ranger. Witnesses claimed he'd been driving to Taco Bell locations to get free or discounted
food. What an idiot.
It must have worked.
No, it's Dunkin' Donuts is where you're supposed to go if you're a cop. Come on. Everybody knows that. This guy impersonating a police officer is pretty serious.
Yes. Sure.
Of
yes,
course it yeah. is.
He'll be tasting a chalupa that he wasn't planning on getting for free. Where he's going.
Another prisoner's penis, Jake.
I enjoyed that joke very much, Mr. Griswold. Oh,
really? Is that where you're
yes.
going now?
Oh, yes.
Here's one of the fattest things I've ever done.
Pretended to be a police officer to get free Taco Bell.
Oh, I was waiting for Josh to speak.
No, I don't see it. That's the game has changed now. Yeah. I don't even have to do it anymore. Just any chance.
So, yeah.
Tom could whatever. Remind everyone that I'm overweight.
Yes. And I didn't know. He's going. Remind he's everyone going you look great.
And put words in your mouth.
Yes. Okay, we're going to come right back.
Are we?
We have. Okay. This is a fascinating story from the world of the from the world of art. We have a fascinating story about what may be one of the most expensive paintings in history going up for sale.
And did you know Uranus opens and closes on a daily basis?
Well, Uranus?
Uranus opens and closes on a daily basis. I hope we have control over that.
She's classy.
It's
she
Uranus.
Didn't want to say Uranus. It's Uranus.
It's Uranus.
Oh.
So Uranus.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Uranus closes.
And you know how when Al Jackson calls, he gives you a quiz every week?
Right.
About African-American lifestyle?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, we have a quiz for Al about the Tom Griswold life.
Oh,
and see if Al
that's good.
Oh.
Can answer some questions that Tom talks about every day quite often, enjoys his life, things like that.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
We're hanging out with Frank Caliendo. Frank's on his way to the Wisconsin Dells a week from tomorrow. Greg Hahn has a schedule he's totally unaware of. We'll try to find out what it is. Right. We have a stack of people in the background trying to tell Greg where he has to go next. This is the Bob and Tom Show. This is the Bob and Tom Show. We are live in the Napa Auto Parts Studios. Happy to be here, along with Christy Lee, the lady of the house.
Yep.
Two great guests in the studio. Our guest host today is legendary comedian Frank Caliendo, man who's set foot on every network in this country. I think. BET?
Yeah, huge.
See?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Greg Hahn, who has set foot in every place in every great stage in this country, including a huge weekend planned at Wiley's Comedy Club in Dayton, Ohio.
This is the show right here. This is where we get discovered.
Friday
right,
and Saturday.
Frank, right here. Bob and Tom, this is it.
Good to see you, Greg.
Fame. Going
to
get some fame. A llama farm. Buy a kitchen fish tank. Get some plastic surgery. It's going to be botched. And turn myself into a chick.
Woo!
Big plans. All right. Get discovered.
Did you hear that, by the way, the Boy Scouts?
Discovered. Yeah, I have that story.
See, the Boy Scouts are going to have... Are they merging with the Girl Scouts? What's going
on
here?
No, they're going to allow... Here we go.
And then the
In
Girl
the
Scouts
latest monumentous policy shift, the Boy Scouts of America will admit girls into the Cub Scouts next year and establish a new program for older girls that enables them to aspire to the Eagle Scout rank. The Boy Scouts have undergone major changes in recent years, agreeing to accept only openly gay youth members and adult volunteers. The expansion of girls' participation is arguably the biggest change yet. It could open the way for hundreds of thousands of girls to join. What about the Girl Scouts? How do they feel about this?
I thought I'd heard that they weren't excited about it.
I bet not.
But it's just the Scouts. But
they yeah.
Right. Right.
But the Girl Scouts are going to try and sue is what I heard this morning.
But the Girl Scouts, they don't want the boys helping them with the cookies.
No, they don't want to.
You get
they
boys
don't share in their money.
No, but not that. I mean, you get boys around cookies, bad things are going to happen.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying.
Why not just implement the Eagle Scout program in the Girl Scouts?
I don't know.
Put the Eagle Scout rank in the Girl Scouts.
Right, exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
Because I think they need to learn to live together. You know, I mean.
We all need to
know. I know when
together.
I was a Boy Scout, I know that it was kind of the only place you could go deep in the woods and at least you wouldn't get rejected by the girls because they weren't there.
What right.
Wasn't that part of it?
I was never in the Scouts, actually.
Oh, it was fun.
Yeah. Really?
I'll tell you what, though, if those jamborees go co-ed, now we're talking a party.
I made it to Weeblos.
Mm-hmm.
That's an unfortunate name.
I was a Weeblo as well, yeah.
Didn't you think...
What is that?
It's
exactly what it sounds like.
Kid Cub Scout, Weeblo, then Boy Scout.
Oh, I never made it to the Boy Scout ranks.
Me either.
I was a fifth-degree Beagle Scout.
Beagle Scout?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. You thought you were a dog? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm trying to fit in.
All right, sir.
It's working.
No, I was in the Boy Scouts.
It's working. It's real good.
I was in the Boy Scouts. I threw the oatmeal in the lake. I just want to tell that story.
Did you really? Why'd you
like
do that?
Oatmeal?
I didn't like it. The food was horrible at camp. I didn't like any kind of a camp. You know what I mean? I'm a rugged indoorsman. I like J.W. Marriott's.
You like Christie.
I don't want to be. Yeah, I like inside.
Now, sure. There's
wild animals out there. Wild animals, you know?
Yes. But
not going to see me get blindsided by a gopher.
No, wait a second.
I like the food coming to me. I don't want to go chase my food.
This is kind of off topic, but Greg, am I correct in saying that your first experience in show business, I know you were a Marine.
No, right. Marie Corps, too slow, get back. No. We don't have all day. Hit him in the head.
No, am I correct in saying
your
first gig was you were a lumberjack announcer?
Right, yeah. That was fun.
Now, what exactly does that
mean? All these drunk lumberjacks chopping at wood.
Did you have to chop and stuff yourself?
I did log rolling and an axe throwing. Yeah, fun. I kept the show moving no matter what happened. Ladies and gentlemen, one slipper glance at the axe, the only place it could go is directly into his foot. Oh! Told you! Our next event.
Frank, what was your first show-busy, comedian-like gig?
I performed at a dance club that they shut down the dancing for a club called Nitro in Milwaukee.
Oh.
And they didn't tell anybody they were shutting down the dancing to do a variety show. And it didn't go even as well as you're thinking. I remember breaking into a Robin Williams impression going, "Oh, I'm Robin Williams. No, I'm not." And just sinking and becoming nothing. And just
what impressions were you doing, really?
It was the Robin Williams. I think I did a Tony Danza that nobody cared about.
Jonathan Samantha Boulder. AMG.
And he always got more Italian when somebody from the old neighborhood was there. Mrs. Rossini. Like that was his acting class coming through. I remember my family going, "You'll never do this, never try this again." And a couple years later, I was on stage again at a bowling alley.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's competition.
Yeah, you just hear the pins going.
Were there other acts as part of this variety show?
Yeah,
at the
it was
dance
mostly
club?
Music.
Oh, okay.
And I was supposed to host, but they found me at a. I was working in an indoor baseball softball place giving out tokens while I was putting myself through college. Mm-hmm. So they're like, "You're funny," because I would just walk around and just do the impressions and force them on people. You know, as her, you know, again, it was Robin Williams at the batting cage. "Just put the token in. Where's it go? Suddenly the balls are coming at you. Oh, it's like we're in Vegas." So meanwhile, people are shielding their children from me. So he's like, we'll try this. And I went up and it was horrific. I just tanked it completely.
Well, I think it was the setting.
No, it was. But that's where I learned that the setting is all important. Like you said, people don't understand. Music can be done in the background. You can have even a guitar comedian. That's the great thing about if the jokes aren't working, strum. And that's there. You can fill the time. But if as a comic, 90% of the time, you need some sort of timing and silence. Silence helps most of us.
Right.
Wow.
I don't use that. No. I don't use silence.
No. Well, there is the other way. You can just push. You can push it out. Like
right.
That's. I've done that at times where you go that direction. But a lot of times you're not in that. You just can't. You feel like you look like you're working too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel that it's not going to work. But I remember doing lunch
that's
shows.
That's why I work harder.
Yeah, right. I know. That's why I said I want to see you bomb because I could just see you go. Because I quit. I just go. Oh, it's over.
Well, you're a calm cat. I've seen you annihilate at the Comedy Magic Club in your flip flops.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
Know? Yeah,
skilled.
I come running out like laugh now and now and laugh now. You know, it's better to act like you're not even trying.
Yeah, sometimes it is like one of the funniest moments I ever. There's a guy named Phil Tagliaferri. I think he changed his name to Phil Tag, but he was a loud New York comic, and he was just doing all this stuff at Jerry's Deli in L.A., which has these giant menus. And he was just doing bits for everybody while he's looking at the menu, and Jeff Ross just quietly says one little line, and the whole table explodes. I was like, you don't need to always have the bits. It's sometimes it's just about the quiet guy who can have one line and it, they can control the room. So it's amazing how that can work.
What was the first really strong voice you had? The Robin Williams was great. Was that the first one you really nailed?
Robin was one of the first. I would do all, like, I was always trying to do something different than what you'd see, because everybody was doing the Reverend Jim from Taxi. So, boss, mm-hmm. I did that Tony Danza, and I added the Latka Gravat.
Thank you very much. I want to say that I like what you do.
I don't have any idea. I would do a whole scene from Taxi, which I didn't realize at the time only was watched by like a couple million people, but everybody was doing the Reverend Jim impression for some reason, not even the Back to the Future Christopher Lloyd. So
it's even harder now with so many channels.
That's what I find. That's why I've been working on so many other things and talking about family and stuff like that, because or finding characters. And I actually went to Stand Up Live in Phoenix the other day, and Howie Mandel was there. My wife wanted to go see Howie, so we went and saw Howie, and we're talking to him afterwards. And I started doing Mike Lacy, the owner of the Comedy and Magic
Great
Club.
Great guy.
And he's got a very recognizable voice, and I was trying to figure out a way to make him into a character, which is just setting it up properly. But he's like, Greg Hahn, he's one of the most amazing guys I've ever seen. He'll come up on the stage and he'll just start yelling at you and he'll force you to laugh. It's amazing. Yeah, I've never seen anyone. It's like he's holding you hostage. You're on stage. He's on stage. You at gunpoint.
He's got a stutter.
He's at gunpoint. He will actually force you to laugh. I've seen people urinate in their seats. It's hilarious. It's unbelievable. We have to clean up afterward. I have Richard do it.
So that's great, because I've never heard this guy, but right. that's a great, funny voice.
It's about setting up the character. I did it for Howie, too, and he started cracking up, and I'll tell you this a little
good.
Bit
well, later. We'll come back. I want to find out more about the characters now in the world of too many people. We're coming right back. Too many channels, too much going on. We'll catch up with everything when we come back. This is the Bob and Tom Show. Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show. Don't spit that out, Josh. What's wrong? You okay?
What? Yeah, I'm fine. I was just drinking.
Oh, I thought you were...
Never about this.
You look like Dizzy Gillespie there.
Yeah, I took two biggest drinks.
Oh, I couldn't figure out what was going on over there. Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show. We're live in the Napa Auto Parts Studios, worldwide on American Forces Radio, coast to coast on great radio stations like this one. Every one of them's got something cool coming up for you. But right now, we are so lucky. Our guest host is a guy who's legendary in the world of American comedy and Canadian comedy and Mexican comedy. Never been anywhere else. That's what he said earlier. He's never been. It's Frank Caliendo.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Have you ever done a show in Mexico?
Yeah. Which was interesting doing this was like a few months ago, doing the Trump impression there. Like, this is tremendous. And you hear waiters dropping things.
What the hell's going on?
We were talking about, I don't want to get too lofty and pretentious, but it's very hard for me not to. Frank.
I understand it ever since I saw that painting of you.
We were talking.
The famous painting.
Yep.
I didn't know. All right, continue. Sorry.
My parents had that done when I was like 10.
I want you to know what it's like. Okay. Somebody puts the hand up for you.
It's pretty funny. I thought
my dad was here.
We're going to paint you again, Tom.
Might explain why you do that.
Your dad used to do that to you?
Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, a bunch of doors opened and lights clicked on.
You can't imagine the dinner table at my house.
I would love to have imagined.
I was probably a little bit too dark to have dinner at your house, wasn't I? Aren't I?
Were you spoke? Would I have been? You only got to speak when spoken to.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that it was formal. It was that it was very competitive.
Was it like a board?
You better be funny and interesting, or someone's going to.
Or you're going to be labeled a horse's ass.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah.
So the point is, we were talking
me
about
of that Steinbrenner kid. Sure. The whole family sucked.
Once again,
your father wouldn't have said so.
I was upset earlier about the Cleveland Indians losing, and my father hated George Steinbrenner. He actually knew him and thought he would call him a horse's ass. And George Steinbrenner had the very good horse's taste, ass? Though. I'll tell you what, he had the very good taste to die. The only year where there was no inheritance tax in the United States of America in recent history.
Smart man.
Good move.
Good businessman,
right?
Yeah. Hey, Dad, would you mind croaking before January 1st? It's kind of a tax thing. Let's get back to reality. We were talking about, we live in a culture where there's so much of everything. There are so many channels. And we were talking to Frank about doing impressions, and it's gotten to the point where who is someone that everybody knows other than Trump?
Well, that's why the politicians always work, because they're out there all the time in the 24-hour news cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the sports people, that's another thing that segments you a little bit, but it's broad enough. But movie stars, people don't even watch this. Everybody's programmed directly to now, whether it's a Netflix suggestion or
What do you think your most popular one is now? Gruden?
Gruden or Barkley, Morgan Freeman, but now there's thousands of Morgan Freemans.
And again, would you mind, Chick, what did you say that, who was it? Oh, no, I'm sorry, Josh. You mentioned...
Yeah, it was one of my all-time favorite Vine videos.
Yeah, the Vines, what I did was a first-person Vine. It was Morgan Freeman, whatever he was looking at, he would narrate. So it was Morgan Freeman narrates himself, and it was opening up the refrigerator, and like, that's when he realized he had no milk for his cereal. And soon Morgan Freeman would be headed to the grocery store. Or like, you just,
it's so musical.
There's just so fun, the stuff you could do is you could pan across, like, today Morgan Freeman was going to try and decide where to eat. And then it just pans past Hooters. The reveals are always so funny with Morgan Freeman, because it would be a fish out of water kind of thing. And it was almost like making mini films. And that's when he realized Batman would never be the same. Pan over to Ben Affleck. Ben would someday be labeled as a groper.
He groped.
Not unlike that Harvey Weinstein Steinstein.
You know, somebody, this is going to come out wrong. I'm sorry. Is he a Steen or a Stein?
Of course.
Because I hear Steen all the time.
I do too.
So Steen?
I think the reflex is to rhyme it with wine, probably.
Though. Yeah, I only read it. I don't know that I've heard
about it. John Feinstein, a friend of the show, great writer. He goes by that. I don't know. I think it's a choice, and I don't know who makes it. I'm just trying to get it right. That's all.
It Stein, like Frankenstein. Guy looks like a monster.
Okay, well, you can if you want. kind of a drag, and he is.
Kind of like Sloth from the Goonies, with a little bit of peach fuzz. Right? Sloth loved chunk. Now, hey, you guys! I can work anything, voicing anything. I'm doing a Greg Hunt. I can work a voice in anything. I'm yelling just things that are coming into my head.
Laugh now, and now.
Who's popular out there?
Yes.
You have two sort of preteens, or how old are they, Juliet and
Joey is 13. Juliet is 11.
Kidding me?
Wow.
No, I wouldn't lie about that. I don't lie about ages.
So
they were born yesterday.
Who are their favorite? Who are their favorite voices that you do?
Oh, they don't care. They whatever makes them gets my son a new Xbox game. That's who's working now, Dad. No, they don't. I don't think they know the Morgan Freeman. They don't know anybody. They don't. They just know YouTubers. They do. That's all PewDiePie. And I don't do a PewDiePie voice. The stuff they know. My son's like talking about late night television. He goes, "Is he one of the Jimmys?" Like, he doesn't even know. Like, when I was a kid, I knew who Johnny Carson was. Later, you knew Leno. They don't. They don't know anything. They don't.
Wow, so that's going to make your gig real tough.
Oh, yeah, that's 15, why I'm quitting.
15 years.
Chucking it all.
That's what I told you. I'm just going to do Uncle Phil.
They can't get cheese in Chicago without going through me.
I actually had an uncle who would say stuff like this. Like,
you're not going to believe this, Frankie, but I got the best cheese, and you can't get cheese in Chicago without going through me.
Frankie was a cheese guy. No, you're Frankie.
Uncle Phil.
He's the cheese guy.
Cheese guy.
Cheese. We had cheese in the news. See that story?
Cheese?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if the van driver was pulled over for carrying too much cheese. It turns out the truck was, I won't give you all the details.
Well, how much is too much?
41% over the weight limit, carrying 2,822 pounds more cheese than he was allowed to carry.
Wow.
There was another truck with
Uncle Phil.
Crushed red pepper. That was also
crushed red.
Hey, I'll tell you. Laugh! With it. How do you do it? Laugh! That was the funny part.
We'll find out more about the cheese story coming up. Once again, we're hanging out with Frank Caliendo and the legendary Greg Hahn. Greg actually on tour, and Greg doesn't pay attention to his own life. He has someone that does it for him. We were able to get a hold of that person and found out that Greg Hahn is going to be a while. He's coming up. Is this starting Thursday evening?
I think it's going to be Friday and Saturday.
Okay, this says Thursday, but we'll just leave it there.
What do you like in a library?
Funny. I'm funny in the library. I'm good. Funny. I kill in a library.
8 November, Diamond Joe Casino. 10, 11 November, Penguins in Cedar Rapids. A legendary club. Great place. The 18th of November, it's a Saturday night at the famous Brown County Playhouse. And then Friday and Saturday, 1, 2 December, it's the Jukebox Comedy Club in Peoria, another legendary venue that will be the man in charge will be Greg Hahn. And I'm telling you, he's one of the greatest and possibly the two greatest corporate comedians I've ever seen are in this building right now. We'll be
you
joined by them
to
when
the,
we come back.
Crystal Grand Theater in the Dells? It's a great place, too.
Maybe I have. In the Dells?
With
the water slides?
I understand they're trying to book Greg Hahn there, but until then, they've
unfortunately, they have Frank Caliendo.
They'll have to make do with Frank.
Frank Caliendo is there a week from tomorrow. October 20, Crystal Grand Theater in the Wisconsin Dells. And are you playing any other Dell other than...
that's the only Dell that I know.
Tom always has the great question.
Let's talk about ping pong, can we?
Sure.
What are you, a chopper? What are you, a topper? What are you, a short hopper? How do you play? Do you intimidate? Do you stomp your foot?
Han's a big ping pong player.
Wait a second, I forgot.
Yeah, Han has a table.
Do you play ping pong?
Yeah, I can play ping pong. I got one paddle, though, sand. Let's go.
I forgot.
Do you play sandpaper?
No, not really.
He's a good player. We'll find out about that when we come back. I want to mention a couple of other things coming up. It'll be comedian Al Jackson in just a few minutes.
Yes.
Helping me with my life. And apparently we have a quiz for Al.
We have questions for Al. We're turning the tables a little bit.
I haven't seen these. This is the Bob and Tom Show.
Yeah. Isn't that right?
What was it? Okay, never mind.
58.
Could we move on? Decorum.
Decorum.
All right, kids. I feel like I'm teaching them.
This actually happened off the air. Frank Caliendo's in the studio. Tom is desperately trying to be a wonderful person and a good host, and he looks at him and goes, "You like eggs? We got boiled eggs in there. You want a boiled egg?"
I don't talk like that.
Just the stupidest.
Frank's been here for more than 2 hours. He might be a little hungry, and I happen to bring in some nice boiled eggs.
Are those you boiled those?
Usually I boil my own. These are actually from Whole Foods.
Why would you eat those when there's Pop-Tarts in there?
What shelf are they on?
I can't eat food like that.
May I have a boiled egg?
Sure.
Can I get somebody? I'm going to go get a boiled egg. You need a boiled egg? Boiled egg?
Yeah.
Boiled egg?
You know what?
Can I have a chick?
I will have one.
Now, wait a second.
I'd
hang
like
on.
One.
Chick,
one.
Chick, boiled stop,
eggs?
Stop.
How many boiled eggs
wait a minute.
Do you have?
No, there's two different. There's lesser boiled eggs
tell
in there.
Tell me everything about it.
No.
There are lesser boiled eggs.
Yes. Which boiled eggs are you?
The organic ones are the ones on the door.
On the door.
And there's only two in that packet left.
Oh.
I don't want any.
The ones in the shelf.
No, I don't.
The ones in the shelf are from another place, and I don't recommend those. I didn't get those.
Tom won't eat those. They're a lesser egg.
I don't want any.
They're too soggy. They're weird.
Just stay here.
Could we make a point here? We have a special guest, then a special guest, then another special guest. So let's start at the beginning. We're live in the Napa Auto Parts Studios. Coming up, it's the famous Chick. I have to read it this way. Chick
yes,
McGee starring in the Napa Auto Parts Shoo-In of the Week starring Chick McGee. Now he's got his name on both sides of it.
Right.
Good for him.
He deserves it.
Yeah, he does.
He's earned it. What is he, 18 and 10?
No.
And he's been doing it for years.
Yeah, well, and if you'd been betting every week, you'd be listening to this show from prison.
And I think he's 18 and 10.
Okay, fine. The point is, we're also joined by two of the greatest comedians. And
ever.
Two guys I really
ever.
Love. We have two guys we've decided they could go in a time machine, get on stage in 1920 in Peoria, Illinois. Wait a minute. Let me do the. Hang on a second. Be quiet. I got this. They could go on stage in 1920 at the Crystal Grand Theater in the Wisconsin Dells, where just by chance Frank Caliendo will be a week from Friday. They could go in a time machine, and both these guys would kill. When Frank does his Jim Rome for Sports Radio Dude in 1920, people and. You throw in some Babe Ruth stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe some Walter Winchell.
Okay, I got eggs.
Babe Ruth calling his shot.
We have a guest on the phone, remember?
Wait a second. Frank.
Who is it?
Wait, hang on.
Al.
It's Al. Hang on 1 second.
Frank, Al called on time?
Frank just did Jim Rome, sports dude, talking about Babe Ruth. Could you do it for me again?
Check the fish wrap because Babe Ruth just... jacked one that he called in advance. He's not Babe Ruth. He's Psychic Ruth.
Do you know what a fish wrap is, Tom?
Newspaper.
Okay. All right. I want you to keep up.
The thing. Frank, I did not warn him I was going to ask him that. He pulled that out of thin air, did his great Jim Rome, of course, which if you know who Jim Rome is, that's dead on. right now, let's switch gears. One of my other favorite human beings.
He just wanted to analyze what happened.
Yeah. He just wanted to go over it again. Yeah. He just wanted to ruin the spontaneous moment we had by talking about it to death.
People need to realize it.
They're human beings. Let it happen.
We don't
will
need
you?
A play-by-play of life.
Yes, you do. You know, what would Morgan Freeman say about this situation?
Ah, yes. And that's when they realized this was the demise of the show yet again.
We just got through the last demise, and now here we are again. I can't take another demise, baby. I'll tell you that.
Now, the next,
speaking of dysfunctional,
our next guest
this might have been the most dysfunctional family of all time.
Our next guest is the only person in this room who's been to my house, I think.
I've been to your house. I was there 10 years ago.
Was I there with you?
I was there for your daughter's, Sally's first birthday. So that was
at my house?
That was 10 years ago.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
you fought through my Morgan Freeman impression to fight with Chick at that point. You don't sniff the eggs. That's weird.
Okay, the eggs that you say are amazing smell worse than the eggs that are in this
container. Don't touch those. Those are all wet, greasy, and
oh,
awful.
My God.
No.
Which one are you eating?
I'm eating eggs that are good.
You know what would make that better? A little cheese from Chicago.
How do you get that? Hey, Phil, can you hook me up?
You can't get it without going through me.
I know.
You want some salt?
I got salt.
He brought salt in.
Sorry. We're joined by the only guy that in this room has been at my house when I was there. It's my friend Al Jackson. Hey, Al.
That's how I have people bring me on stage. I just say the only person that's been to Tom's house.
Oh, yeah, Al's been to my house, too.
Crazy. Al's been to your house?
Yes, he has.
Well.
Whoa!
Hang on a second, Al. This is about to get funnier. Or maybe.
I'm dead.
Al has slept at my house.
No, he's not slept at my house.
Damn it.
Well, there was very little sleeping going on. I'll tell you that right now.
Al and I did a very nice podcast in my living room. It was very innocent.
Okay. Oh, is that
damn!
What they're calling it?
Is that what we're calling it, Christy?
That's what we're calling it, Al.
Al, apparently, I guess
she grabbed that mic?
I guess we're going to switch gears today a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Have you heard?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen the quiz. Are you sure this is accurate?
Oh.
Okay. That egg?
Can you give it to me? I'll do it if you can't. Could you finish your eggs, for God's sake?
Don't you need to recap those
things? Pass that over to me. We'll get this started.
Give it to me. Don't give it to him.
Who wrote this? You can't do your own quiz.
No, but the last time he did this, someone sent something and it was a turd.
Oh my gosh.
What is this about, Josh?
So these are things that you are famous for
saying on the air.
Yes. Yeah.
In relation to your life, terms and scenarios.
And you want to see if Al knows them.
And see if Al knows.
Right. So we're essentially quizzing you, Al, on Tom Griswold knowledge.
Okay.
All right.
I couldn't be more excited about this.
Could you be a little less negative about it, Josh? We're asking Al about Tom.
Who wrote the questions?
Our friend Joe M.
Okay. Go ahead.
First question, Al. What is a Chris Craft?
Good question.
Chris Craft. Good question. Very good.
Not Chris Cross, Al. Chris Craft.
Well, you're assuming it Chris Cross because Al only knows black musicians.
Or pop music? Yes, Al only knows black music.
Chris Craft.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that he is somebody in his life named Chris, and they make a lot of crafts.
Great guess. Yeah, there'd be two answers. The wrong one would be Chris Craft, of course, was one of the head guys at NASA. You'll recall the great Chris Craft.
We won't recall that, but okay. We'll take your word for it.
Just when I think you can't be any more obscure, you surprise me.
Oh, you're welcome. The benefits of a classical education.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I know what it is.
Or psychotic behavior.
Well, all right.
Chris Craft is?
It's a hoity-toity boat.
Very good.
That's exactly right.
Really?
A luxury boat, yes.
Made out of hardwood flooring.
Well,
it's teak.
Back in the day, the great Chris Crafts.
I didn't know this was going to happen.
The Kennedys had one.
Excuse me. If you've watched The Godfather Part 2,
yeah,
there's a great scene with a Chris Craft, I believe.
What's the difference between that and a yacht?
It's a small. Typically, Chris Crafts are like
a small ski boat,
like a water ski boat, or something. But they were handmade and they're beautiful and they're wooden and people restore them.
Oh, well, we have to move on here. Let's see, Al.
No, you owe it to yourself, Al. You appreciate great sonic architecture, Al. The sound of a Chris Craft is unlike the sound of anything else in the world.
Oh, like a Harley Davidson.
Yes, exactly. It's a beautiful boat. Sorry.
Okay.
A very good question, by the way. Sorry, Al, you're 0-1.
0-1. I'm going to redeem myself.
You could have done that whole thing in 5 seconds. It's a beautiful boat,
right,
Al.
No, but it's a special boat.
Josh. All right, we have to move on.
Yes.
Chris Crafts are very visual. Al, this is a television question.
Yes.
What was the town drunk's name on the Andy Griffith Show?
Oh, God.
Good one.
I'm going to say old Mr. Whispers.
I'm going to give you another hint here.
I better know what the hint is.
Sure, yes, go ahead.
Al, I am a very brand loyal person.
That's exactly the hint, yes.
And I am especially loyal when it comes to elevators. I only will take one brand of an elevator.
So this the town drunk's name and the elevator brand are the same.
Mr. Hand Crank?
Well, the answer is Otis. Otis Elevators. American-made elevator. If I go to a big building and they've got a different brand of elevator, I take the stairs.
Yep.
That's how loyal I am. Thank you very much.
Yes, all right.
Another good question.
The people of Otis will send you some money for that plug.
No plugs necessary.
Al, I think you might get this, actually.
Okay, I got to redeem myself. This is a little embarrassing.
This is a sports question. What does love mean in tennis?
Zero.
That's exactly right.
There you go.
Good. Check mark.
And for the final top.
Thank you, William Sisters.
Al Jackson.
Yes.
You mean thank you, Richard Williams. Is what
exactly.
I might have said Arthur Ashe in a different time, but we'll move on.
And for your final Tom pop culture question here, Al, who sang the song Wild Honey Pie?
God, I don't know that. Nice sit in here.
Aren't those
Wild
questions?
Honey Pie?
You do know I have sex with black women, right?
Wild Honey Pie.
I'm going to go with Tom Petty.
That's a good guess.
Yes, the Beatles.
Beatles. One of the Beatles.
I didn't know that.
Actually, what album was that on?
Tom, you know what album
Meet
that was
the
on?
Beatles, maybe? One or two, one of the early ones.
Honey Pie?
The White Album. We're being told by our producer.
White Album. Sorry, Al. I was, I think.
So you were 1-for-4, Al. Nicely done. Hey. Most people would get zero.
Thank goodness for Richard Williams.
We should explain to Frank Caliendo and to Greg Hahn what's happening here. Al is now going to give me a pop culture quiz. And I got to tell you, Al, this is going to be a really bad week for me, I think. I've had to do a lot of other things. So what have we got?
All right. I've just been scouring things, looking for, like, what have I not talked to Tom about? And I want to ask you, Tom, can you name any famous African-American preachers?
Oh, sure. The Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Yes, I can. Next question.
I would just say I'm looking for people that still currently preach on the pulpit on Sundays, like that have, you know, those mega churches. Any of those guys?
Oh, that are wow. Christy, you got one?
Joel Osteen is not black.
Yeah, no, Joel
Osteen. He's very not black.
Joel Osteen makes me look black.
He doesn't want black people in his church.
I don't know. I don't know this one.
Anybody? Anybody, class? Morgan, you got any ideas?
Not today.
Isn't there a guy named Green, like Money Green?
Go with that.
I know. Creflo Dollar.
That's it. Creflo Dollar.
Who
Creflo
is this?
Dollar is one.
Creflo Dollar.
That's
Creflo
good
Creflo Dollar.
Yeah, Creflo Dollar.
He's one of the guys. He got in trouble because he said that I think Jesus wanted him to have a private jet.
Oh, sure. I remember that.
Yes.
A couple years ago.
Remember that guy?
Yeah, I do remember that.
That's a zero for me, Al. Good question.
All right. This could have been an ugly question, but it looks like everything's cleared up. The rapper Nelly got in some trouble this week, but it looks like it's gotten rid of itself. Tom, can you name one Nelly song?
Uh-oh. He didn't do I'm in Love with a Stripper, did he? Oh, he has. Oh, I know. We play that one. hot something. Hot something.
Where are you hot?
Hot panties.
Yes, hot panties.
Hot.
Hot. Hot. It's my neck. Chick's trying to say to me, it's hot on my neck.
It's hot.
All right, no, it's hot on Chick's ears.
It's not hot yet, but
it's hot.
Hot later. I know it's not hot yet. It'll be hot presently. You see, many get that wrong. They think if now is at present. Presently,
which
means
one starts?
Soon.
Where they at? Where they at? Where they at? I love that song. Where they at? Where they at?
I just wish Nelly had a song called "It's Hot Presently."
Yeah.
That would be a much bigger hit.
Well, see, it's hot presently, but it'll be hot soon. But it's not hot now.
Isn't it? Yeah. Isn't one of them riding me? Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Then you explained what that means, didn't you? And I've been handed some audio here. This is the one.
Oh, it's getting hot in here. So hot, so
oh, I've heard this.
All your clothes.
Well, that's very nice.
That's what we were trying to get you to say.
Hot in her.
Presently. Hot in here.
No, hot in her.
But, yeah.
That's a great song. Very, very melodic. Now, Frank Caliendo is here with us.
Very melodic.
Frank Caliendo is here with us. Whenever I talk about Frank, I always mention the fact that Frank never listens to music, and the first concert he ever went to was the
Wiggles.
Wiggles.
Yes.
So, yeah, that always kills me about Frank. People ask, what's Frank like? Well, he's completely weird. He doesn't like music.
Tom cannot get over that.
It's not that I don't like music. I just... You don't like music. No, I just don't listen to a lot of music. I'm always thinking. All right, used to be always thinking. Now I just zone out. I don't know what I do.
Okay, but am I 0-2? Yes, I am. Al, you're about to take me over here. What else have you got?
All right. Finish the name of this famous rap group. Kid and Who.
Play.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
Kid's been in here.
Okay.
And he's a really good stand-up comic, by the way.
Yes, he is. He's been doing stand-up forever now, as long as he was a musician.
Yeah.
This one.
And he had the, didn't he have the, like...
Eraserhead?
Abe Lincoln...
high top?
Well, yeah, the real, like, real high...
Fade, yeah.
Abe Lincoln hat haircut?
Yeah.
That's right. That's what he had.
Yeah. He was famous for that.
That's exactly right.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Some guy set a new world record in that, by the way. Did you see that, Al?
I did not, especially the Guinness Book of World Records.
Wasn't it like 18 inches high?
Some guy from L.A. famously, it takes like 2 hours and a lot of hairspray. Mm-hmm. This is all this guy does for a living, I guess. It's kind of a weird calling.
Could be a YouTuber.
Did you hear that, Al? Mm-hmm. Evidently, this man doesn't
that's have a job. That's my calling now.
Doesn't have a job. He's jobless, homeless, and can grow his hair. I don't know what's
Al,
going on.
Al, you can overtake me here. Oh, give me one more.
All right, you got one more, and this is actually a hair question, so you're going to get this one.
Okay.
Besides high top fades, there was another black hairstyle in the 80s that was in the South and on the West Coast primarily called the Jerry Curl.
Oh, sure.
How do you spell that?
Oh,
boy.
I think I know.
Is it, give me a couple guesses. Is it J-E-R-I? No.
You got to tell me what your final guess is. And then Christy,
is it G or J?
Is it J-H-E-R-I?
It is. Look at the big brain on Christy.
So, Al, we're tied. Well, I got a quiz for you, Al. You know that they all talk a lot about, in the world of politics, gerrymandering?
Yes.
I know this one.
It's gerrymandering.
Gerrymandering. It's
everyone gets it wrong.
It's a hard G.
Today,
Ronald Reagan had it right when he said it in the 80s.
Got to be right sometime.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard G.
Yeah, but if you spelled your name Gary like that, people would think you were a jerk. If you spelled your name G-E-R-R-Y.
Yeah, but it is actually Gary.
Same thing with Jeffrey. G-E-O-F. No.
I know I have a Jeff.
Well, that's the English spelling, right, with the G?
I guess.
Well, before I get technical,
Joffrey.
I've been on a campaign to fix the word phonetics. Shouldn't phonetics be spelled with an F and not a PH?
By definition, it
think
should
about
be.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. This is turning into Jumbo Shrimp George Carlin.
It's hot in here.
So we're tied, Al. Good
never
job.
Hot in here.
I'm going to come up with some questions for Al next week, see what he knows about.
I like the reverse.
I like it very very much. I like that feature very much.
Yeah, thank you, Joe M.
Tom, do you want to just show Greg and Frank some of the words that you've learned? Why don't you give a sentence that describes your car and you might be hanging out with a woman.
Would you like to ride with me in my hoopty with...
good Lord.
My this is going to come out wrong. Help me here. Not bitch. What else, Christy? Give me
side piece. Jesus, pal.
Oh, I know. Greg, would you like to ride with me in my hoopty with my side piece? Because you are my man, 50 grand.
Yeah.
You say brother.
Yeah, brother.
Thank you very much.
Hit the trap house. Okay, never mind.
Okay. Al Jackson. Al, what's going on in your life on the television thing?
Television thing is going really well. We have, obviously, we're live Monday through Friday.
Daily Blast Live.
Yes, Daily Blast Live, 12 to 3 every day, and then we have an access hour from 5:30 to 6. You can check us out. We're in 39 cities, and we're on the internet every day, so you can just put in Daily Blast Live into YouTube, and there will be my goofy face.
Very good. Cool. Yeah. Are you having a good time, Al?
I am loving it. I was always so worried about doing live TV just because you're worried about, you know, cursing. But, I mean, you know, you think about it, you do. I really didn't say any curse words for like 3 weeks getting ready for the show. Just like, because the S word comes out of my mouth like it's the word was. I have to, like, really be conscious of that because it just rolls off the tongue.
No, are you in your car right now?
No, I'm in my my converted studio in my apartment.
I see. Now, if you were in your car, would you be riding dirty?
You know what, Tom? For the first time ever, I don't think I am. I think I've paid all my tickets. I think my registration's clear. Wow. I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like I'm 40 and I feel like a sellout. I think I rode dirty for my entire 30s.
Okay, well, I'll explain what riding dirty is when we come back, maybe. Okay, thanks, Al.
Hey, love you guys.
Bye, Al.
See you. Thanks, man.
I'll be right back. This is the Bob and Tom Show. Welcome back to the Bob and Tom Show. Let's do a little inventory here. We're here, and we're in the Napa Auto Parts Studios. Coming up in about half an hour, it'll be the patented Napa Shoe-In of the Week starring Chick McGee. Oh, wait a minute. I've got to read it this way. It's Chick McGee starring in the Napa Shoe-In of the Week featuring Chick McGee.
Directed by
Chick McGee. Okay.
Produced by
Chick McGee.
A Chick McGee
production.
Joint.
Oh, going the Spike Lee route, huh?
Chick McGee.
Or Chick's McGee. Tyler Perry. Chick McGee's Shoe-In of the Week.
Oh, very nice. In the studio, we have our guest host today. He is the great comedian Frank Caliendo. Are you all hyped up? What are you rocking?
I'm just fired up.
You look like
I like being here.
You're rocking back and forth. It's the great Greg Hahn.
I'm eating Pop-Tarts.
Okay.
I got my show coming out. You had never mentioned my show.
Your TV show?
Yeah, Dog Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of dogs. And
Frank Caliendo is here with us. Frank is going to be doing some road work. He will be at the Crystal Grand Theater in Wisconsin at the Wisconsin Dells place. And it'll be a week from tomorrow. Now, I wanted to ask Frank something. I did not see this, but I'm getting told about it.
Okay.
The show is called The Good Life.
Oh, yeah. I was referenced on there.
And there's a picture of you.
I only heard about it. Yeah. There's impressionist art, and it's apparently a picture of me.
I didn't even get the joke. I didn't know.
I think my favorite reference, I got referenced on Family Guy, which I thought was the coolest thing in the world. Peter Griffin's flying over Vegas.
Right.
And there's a picture of me on a billboard. And he's like, hey, he hits everything he says. I agree with 100% or something like that. It was like, great.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I always like those. I don't mind being a punchline every once in a while. But I didn't
know what the setup was. Impression.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I'd heard about it a bunch.
That's
Bob Lee from ESPN, actually, when it happened, he emailed me. You know Bob Lee, the serious guy on ESPN. It always takes a breath before he starts. Frank, where? No. What was that all about?
I wanted to read this for Greg Hahn because this was a legit news story that we had, I think, earlier this week.
I don't know what one.
It involves the linguistics professor Alan Manning. And he did a very comprehensive study about breaking up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he said, when asked, what is the best way to let your soon-to-be ex know the bad news? Researchers have found that people receiving bad news about a social relationship, such as a breakup or getting fired, prefer directness, candor, and very little buffer.
That's why I get down on one knee.
Uh-huh.
I say, will you make me the happiest man in the world and let me out of this debacle?
This guy does say you should say we need to talk.
Yeah.
And then get right to it. I hate that.
That's like telegraphing a punch.
Yeah, everybody who hears, we need to talk.
They're horrible.
Right.
Yeah, that's a dead giveaway.
I don't want to talk.
No.
No, I don't want to talk.
Yeah, it's never, we need to talk. I can't keep up all this sex. It's you're going to have to back down.
Oh, I see.
Oh, he's going the other way.
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, no, it rarely is anything positive.
Yeah, it's always bad.
Well, look at Frank. What are you, like a nice married guy, successful, with beautiful kids? Is that right?
Yeah,
why not? See, if he made decisions, could have gone the other way. Single! Crazy! Happy! Made a few bad decisions, Frank!
Well, good to know. Greg Hahn has a massive road schedule. I'll get to that in just a few minutes. Both these guys are, if you've got some business, you want to have like the greatest Christmas party of all time. Are you kidding me?
No, I could just watch Greg all day. I mean, there's very few people that you could just say, I just want to see him hoot and holler and do the fingers.
See my new show on Animal Planet where I travel the country eating the state bird.
Dear Bob and Tom,
I think it's terrible.
You lay a hand on one of our cardinals.
I think it's terrible.
And it'll be...
Wow. More eagle?
Yeah, you two are the yin and yang of personalities, Frank and Greg.
Yeah?
Yeah, because you're so quiet and calm, and then there's Greg on. Mm-hmm. He's a hurricane.
Getting sleepier.
Mm-hmm. You're sleepier?
No, I'm good.
Oh.
Well, now, once again, I think...
Hurricane! I was going to mention, what? You say you play with your kids, mm-hmm. right, Tom?
Of course.
Your little baby. You ever play Hurricane?
Oh, yeah.
Set them up with a walkie-talkie. You build them a big pillow fort.
All right.
Give them a walkie-talkie, and you have the other one. Right. And give them the weather report. That's nice. All clear. Perfect weather. Nice walk. They're in there eating snacks, having a nice time in the pillows.
All clear. Wait a minute. A few clouds on the horizon. It's okay.
Yeah.
No big deal. A few more clouds building up. A few more.
Wait a minute. There's a hurricane headed directly your way. Then you run in with a pillow and just demolish the fort and clobber the girls with a pillow.
There is a hurricane headed your way, girls.
Yeah.
Hurricane! And just bang, bang, pillows.
The girls will like, hell, I love that. I'd like to play hurricane.
Snacks everywhere.
What a great idea.
Yeah, I did it many times.
There's trail mix everywhere.
Yeah, they loved it.
Do you have any other natural disaster kids games?
Yeah, yeah.
You got to play tornado?
Any earthquake?
Any other tone deaf?
A tornado would be great.
Activities for slumber parties.
Didn't you as a kid stand out and go out with your
front yard?
Hurricane coming?
During the hurricane, heading into Florida, goggles, jock strap, bring it!
That's right. That's where the front yard!
That's where he got his comedic delivery.
You can hear me now! You can hear me anytime!
Wow, any kooky wildfire stuff?
No.
We have Christy Lee.
No one even thought of it.
Not yet!
Until...
We have Christy Lee at the Bob and Tom News Desk. Let's get another story in here. What's happening? What are we missing?
We were talking about paintings because we were talking about your impressionist painting thing. The last Leonardo da Vinci painting in private hands is expected to fetch $100 million at auction next month. Christie's announced Tuesday the depiction of Jesus titled Salvator Mundi will be offered on November 15th.
What, is he in disguise?
No, have you seen it? No, he's not in disguise.
Why did they call it Jesus?
I don't know.
Hang on.
Is Salvador Monday?
It's
is
a it painting?
Monday?
You're upset
Sunday.
Da Vinci didn't ask you what he should name the painting, aren't you?
We have two for Tuesday. We don't have Salvador Monday on this station, do we?
Salvador Monday? Monday?
What does that mean?
Monday is French for one of the days of the week, isn't it?
Mardi, Mercredi, Jeudi.
Monday?
I forget.
Jeudi, Monday.
Did you say Solomon Grundy?
No! The work, which dates from around the year 1500, is one of fewer than 20 known paintings by Leonardo.
Sure it does.
The seller is identified only as a private European collector. It sold for 45 British pounds in 1958.
Oh, that's quite
how much is that?
Quite an investment.
$100.
Well, $100 maybe.
I'm selling my painting. I got a good one. It's a guy. You look at it. He seems to be coming towards you.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Here Comes Ed. All right.
That's a good title.
Salvatore, it's with a D, a T.
Salvatore Mundi.
Yeah, it means savior of the world.
Ah, okay, cool.
I got a question. I I can't understand how your comedy works. It's amazing. It's unbelievable.
Anybody
There's nobody
else,
like you.
Anybody else says that same sentence, you're just staring at
yes.
them. Like,
yeah.
There's
I hate
no
you.
Way.
This guy, I'm crying.
The stuff you do so and sorry, the things, so it shouldn't be this good.
It's called, no. Here Comes Ed. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good.
No, it's called Here Comes Ed.
Yeah. So
how do you do it?
Real quick review. This
unbelievable.
Guy, some guy bought this painting for like $100 and now it's going to go for $100 million.
$100 million. It disappeared again for nearly half a century. Believed that the work had been destroyed till it was rediscovered in 2005, and it took 6 years to authenticate it.
Rediscovered, repainted. The point is,
yeah. Even Jesus is rolling over in his grave.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
He's not in his grave.
Sorry.
Rolled the rock.
We're going to come right back and try to rescue the show. Frank Caliendo, Greg Hahn in the studio. Coming up, it's the Chick McGee starring in the Shoe Under the Week starring Chick McGee. This is the Bob and Tom Show. We're back. This is the Bob and Tom Show. Thanks for joining us. We're live in the Napa Auto Parts Studios. Two greats in the studio. The fabulous Frank Caliendo and the grating Greg Hahn. Wait a minute, that sounded wrong. I got to work on my words. Frank Caliendo, one of my favorite human beings, the great comedian, impressionist, et cetera, et cetera. Frank is going to be live and in person a week from Friday. That's Monday. A week from tomorrow, yes. In the Wisconsin Dells at the legendary Crystal Grand Theater.
Frank, thanks for sitting in with us this morning, man. It's a pleasure.
Yeah,
Frank
I've
will be doing
better.
His famous Babe Ruth impression, made famous on today's show. Greg Hahn has a big weekend. He'll be at the legendary Wiley's in Dayton, Ohio, plus some more dates I'll get to in just a second. We've been talking about Frank's career growing up and doing impressions. Of course, your first famous impression, I assume, was one of your brothers or your father or one of your teachers.
I was a teacher, Mr. Christensen.
Can you do him for us?
We're going to go to Frank Caliendo, who's our resident map expert. Frank, could you show us where the United States is on the map? Frank, you're pointing to the blue.
Now, so today's world, when Frank Caliendo gets on stage, I talk to him like he's not here.
Being at home.
Who are the voices that are getting the most response right now?
The impression ones?
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman's always the big that people want to hear the Madden thing. John Gruden is
who doesn't love Gruden.
I'll tell you what, I don't know why you wouldn't love him. Greg Hahn. Greg Hahn. Yeah. This guy excites me, man. I love Greg Hahn. Gruden hotline.
Now, the video of you with Gruden is priceless.
That's a lot of fun. When I did that sketch with him, I would have preferred not to talk the whole time, just stared back and forth with him. I know it's not great for radio, but just the look on the face, I'll tell you what, man. I could have just done that for 2 minutes and it'd been even funnier than the sketch.
Oh, did you ever throw an impression out there that's kind of just for you or that might be for like 10% of the audience?
Obscure half of my life is doing that. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. You throw out the weird things like, the dad from Alf.
Oh,
Lynn, Brian, please don't eat Lucky. Or people that are like specific comedy fans. You do a Brian Regan. I had no idea I was going to even be here. Gonna go to the left side of the stage now. Going to the left side of the stage. Gonna work the crowd. Didn't like him going to the right side. Gonna do like a Muppet dance. Get over there. And Krypton, the big red one, was the sun. They didn't have the same power.
God, the dad from Alf, thank you.
Yeah,
God,
Max.
Max
something, yeah.
Carl Ace, you know that. You're
Carl
a big Shub, Alf
Max
fan.
Max Shub.
Why would you even bring it up?
God.
He was on Norm MacDonald's show, too. He's another.
Max Wright.
Norm's another. Max Wright. Yeah, man, I worked with Max Wright over there. He was a... He was a guy who was a dad from Alf. I think he had some problems with the law at one point.
Yeah.
Ended up dying or something like that. I don't know. We don't keep in touch anymore. But, hey, I went to see the Greg Hahn show. You ever see Greg Hahn? He's a funny guy. He was a bit manic out there. And I'm watching Greg. And I said, hey, you should be the next Colonel Sanders. And then... He said, I'm Ed.
The greatest thing about Norm Macdonald is he never has to get to a joke to be funny. It's even funnier. I remember when I first met him, he's like, so you're doing the voice there. That's that sounds kind of like me. I was on you do a sketch show. You know the sketch show there, the Mad TV. I was on a sketch show. You might never heard of it. It's called the Saturday Night Live. I did that show for a couple years. I did a news segment on there, and yeah.
That's it.
So I told him, I'm like, we have the same lawyer. I'm like, we have the same lawyer. He's like, yeah, hey, you know, you we should go do that for him right now. What?
I love the obscure stuff on Norm Macdonald. That's right. But wasn't the Max Wright guy, he was on Buffalo Bill. Did you ever see that show?
Was that a Dabney Coleman show?
Dabney Coleman.
General manager and Gina Davis, the general manager of the TV
station. That show lost in the shuffle. If you ever get a chance, that was a great show.
Don't make a big effort, but it's okay.
Oh, no,
the Buffalo Bill show?
Oh, it's great.
It puts the lotion in the basket.
No, not that show. That's a different Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
No, that was the original title of Silence of the Lambs.
I have two questions for
you. Put the lotion in the basket.
Mr. Greg Hahn on his way to the legendary Wiley's Comedy Club this Friday and Saturday. Greg?
Yes. I was born 8.5 months early, everybody.
Wow. Whoa. One of my favorite things is when we will try to feed Mr. Hahn a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how's it work?
Happened just a few moments ago. There was a reference to golf behind the scenes. And I said, oh, Greg's a golfer. He's the farmer. And then you looked at me like, don't ask. I don't know the bit.
Golf!
Yeah.
I forgot the bit.
Some people think golf is boring. Not if you tackle. There it is. There's one.
Boom.
No, we're taking acting classes. Frank's taking acting classes now, right?
Yeah.
Me too. I took a class.
How'd it go?
Did you?
Didn't go well at all. Do they make you repeat back and forth? Oh, happy, sad, sad, happy.
Yeah, that's like the Meisner.
Good. You feel good. I hate that.
You're doing terrible right now.
Well, no, it went. No kidding. It went. It got violent right away with the teacher, you know?
Oh, really?
Because I'm so happy I'm even there because I don't want to be there. I don't like it. Anyway, so but I'm happy that I'm there. So I said, motivated. Progress. He says, progress, yeah, motivated. Then he says, he looks at my face with a smile. He goes, mask. Like I'm, you know.
Hiding something.
Yeah, hiding. And I said, actor. He goes, actor? Bleep you, he yells. And I said, little acting class. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? That was my big thing. All right, you sit down. All right. I'm not going back. But I'm picky with the parts that I would play. Do you know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah, I want to play either a pinball repairman.
Oh.
You know, or like an anesthesiologist that has one arm shorter than the other. That's it. I'm waiting for these roles.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, retired superhero. Nice. There's nothing better. Than seeing you.
What would be his superpower?
It could be anything he wanted.
He could be retired Superman. You see him sitting in his recliner.
He really
Superman,
could. Yeah.
In the Superman suit.
Yeah, Frank's nailed it here. He really
having
could.
A sandwich, watching
yeah,
TV.
Watching TV, half uniform on, half the uniform
curl,
off.
The curl on his forehead like Superman.
Oh, you're very handsome. Very handsome man.
You know what I figured out? How to win all political arguments. I know how to win all political arguments. Chick and I are debating right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're just going to have to agree to disagree.
How about you eat a crap sandwich?
Thank you. That's the Greg Hahn players. Thank you. Thank you very much.
We are coming right back. It's going to be the famous Napa Auto Parts. No, wait a minute.
We get to talk to a granny.
It's the famous Chick McGee starring in the Napa Auto Parts presents the Chick McGee Shoein' of the Week show produced by Chick McGee. Featuring a grandmother and our friends Greg Hahn, Frank Caliendo. This is the Bob and Tom Show. This is the Bob and Tom Show. Welcome back. We're about to get to the Napa Auto Parts Shoein' of the Week live from the Napa Auto Parts studios.
All right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are
you can count. Congratulations.
Three very handsome men in this room.
But there are 5, 6 men.
Look around, Josh.
Well.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
I see what you're saying.
I just looked around. There are three. Go. Damn it. there are also some spectacularly funny people in the room, and that would include Frank Caliendo. Frank is the famous impressionist. You know him from ESPN, from Fox, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Frank is going to be doing some road shows, including the Wisconsin Dells at the Crystal Grand Theater. Frank has a very fine website. You can find out what's going on with Mr. Caliendo if you go there. Hello to your brother, Terry.
Yeah.
I've got a special T-shirt for him.
Don't forget Rico.
You know, doesn't Rico Caliendo sound a little bit like...
He does the books.
That's right.
Sure.
You're going to pay.
Yeah. And I'm sure the IRS likes Rico, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Rico.
You can't get taxes from the federal government unless you go through me.
That's right. Also with us in the studio, a man who occasionally files his income taxes, it's comedian Greg Hahn.
Jesus, really?
I do my own money managing. You know that.
Yeah, we know.
Yep. I meant to invest with Smith Barney. I gave all my money to Barney Smith.
Oh, man. What?
Christy, in reference to our conversation off the air,
yes?
I do not want to receive any more of your tasteful nudies.
Hey! See, now that's a gentleman.
Yes.
A tasteful nudie. That sounds like something you'd say.
Oh, God.
I take it back. You could write that down. It'd be funny.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Well, thank you for clarifying that. We are moments away from the shoe of the week. How are we doing? Oh, we have our... Do we have our...
oh, my gosh. Grammy had to hear that.
Okay. Oh, sorry. We're joined by...
Why do we have all these people working behind the scenes and you're always calling attention to them like you're lost in a parking lot? Why is that?
Because I wasn't paying attention.
Why don't you do it... It's a little smoother. Never mind. What am I talking about? Now, I'm going to eat my peanut butter cup. Talk to the grandma.
No, you're doing this as your show.
Wait a minute. First it was you're eating my eggs, now you're eating the peanut butter cups?
Yeah, protein, man.
Couldn't you have done this? Do we have our grandmother on the phone?
Yeah, say hi to grandma.
We're joined by Marilyn in Naples, Florida. Hi, Marilyn. How are you?
I'm really great this morning. Thank you.
Good. Well, thanks for doing this. Your daughter, Stacy, nominated you to be our guest grandmother. Is Stacy a good girl?
Some of the time.
Oh,
okay. All right.
Well, Stacy may be on your list after this adventure.
All right.
We have Chick McGee. As soon as he's finished with his candy bar, we will discuss that.
Marilyn, what's your favorite candy bar?
Snickers.
Yes.
Oh, fine choice.
Nice. Good choice.
Yeah.
Good Snickers.
Wait a minute. Christy, what's yours?
The best.
What's my favorite candy bar?
Yeah.
Milky Way.
Okay,
Midnight Milky Way.
I like the Nestle's Crunch, but Mr. Caliendo.
Why did you look at Greg when he said that?
Because I'm getting him ready. If you surprise Greg, bad things happen. He looks at me like, I don't have a bit about that.
Wait.
We were just talking
exactly.
about that. It's conversation, Greg.
You know what? I don't think I have a favorite candy bar.
Do you eat candy?
No, Milky Way. Yeah, look at me. I eat candy.
No, you look great. Greg?
Chocolate-covered shrimp.
Marilyn, you get a lot of shrimp down there in Naples?
We certainly do.
Yeah, oh, I bet.
Darn right,
okay,
you do.
Now,
I like it every way they make it.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I can't argue with you there. Now, are you a follower of football?
Usually the Colts.
Oh, well, very good. Okay, right. That's very good, even down there in Naples. We have a Chick McGee, follower of the Redskins here.
Yeah, we'll put the Colts on. It looks like the Colts in Tennessee on, can that be right? Maybe the line's not up yet. It looks like it's a pick'em game.
It's the Monday nighter.
Yeah. There's no lineup yet.
Okay. The way this works is the Chick is going to pick three or four games, mm-hmm. and he'll announce the spread as he sees it from Las Vegas, and then we will. You'll make your picks. Chick, by the way, against the spread so far this season is a staggering
18-10.
Very good. Okay. Very good.
That's very way nice, up. Josh. Way up. Earlier yeah, said that. Literally.
Okay. The first game, Marilyn, the New York Jets are hosting the mighty New England Patriots. And the Jets, like I said, they're at home, and the Jets are getting 10 points against New England. Who do you like, the Patriots or the Jets?
I like the Jets.
I do as well, Marilyn.
Brady has that shoulder problem,
I'll take the Jets plus 10, and the Jets are hungry.
But I do like Tom
Brady.
Everybody likes to pick on Tom Brady. I like him. Seems like a nice guy.
Well, of course.
Well,
you,
nice
him,
guys
Belichick,
always...
Bourdain, you're all at the meetings. We know. The jerk meetings, we know.
You see what I have to put up with, Marilyn? A young man like Tom Brady, incredibly successful, handsome, great family.
Marilyn, what do you think of Tom Brady? You like him or not?
Kind of lukewarm.
No, okay. That's fair, yeah.
You know what? I know nothing about Marilyn. She sounds wonderful and sweet.
Yes.
That's the equivalent of somebody telling Tom Brady to kiss their ass.
Okay, maybe there was exactly a thing about I don't want to bring up the deflated gate thing, whatever.
You love to bring it up, so go ahead.
Sorry. No, I'm not going to. I'm sorry. Back to you, Chicken Gate.
Oh, see? You just brought it up to not bring it up.
Exactly.
What Arizona. Cardinals hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Frank's backyard this weekend. And Arizona, home underdog. They're getting two. Who do you like, Tampa Bay or Arizona?
Tampa Bay, without a doubt.
Tampa Bay plus the two, minus the two as well, Marilyn. What do you think of that?
I think that you're probably smart.
Okay.
That's
my double shock.
That was damning with faint praise.
And then the juggernaut that all of a sudden is the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are hosting the Los Angeles Rams, and the Rams are getting three. Who do you like in that one, Jacksonville or the Rams?
Jacksonville.
I like Jacksonville minus the three as well, Marilyn.
Do we know each other?
I think we do.
I hear.
You are each other.
Wedding bells.
I hear wedding bells. I'm on my way to
Too
Naples.
Late. Too late.
Too late.
Well,
you need a side piece?
You know what a side piece is.
Let's not bother Marilyn with your vulgar lingo.
She knows what it is. She's she smart. Woman.
You play hard to get. Chick plays gone for life.
I'm out of here. Zingo.
Okay. Well, this is a first. We've never hit on the granny
before. I don't think.
I'm asking
speak
you to
for yourself, Christy.
I am asking you to be careful. I've just received a note saying, this is from Stacy, our grandmother of
grandmother's
the week, Marilyn's daughter,
yes.
saying, be careful. She might curse on the air. Be ready to hit the button. Someone better tell her to tone it down.
You don't sound like that, Marilyn, at all.
I have been known to use a word or two, but not on the air. No,
I see.
Okay, good.
She knows.
All right. We know your favorite candy bar is a Snicker. What's your favorite curse word?
Hey,
wait a minute. What letter does it start
Let's
with, Marilyn?
Let's just go there.
You don't want to know that.
Depends what the answer is. All right. It could get very ugly very quickly.
And it really depends on who I'm talking about, too.
Sure, okay. Yeah. I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah.
Or two.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite curse word, Chick?
For my daughter, I like them all. A string of them.
Oh, your daughter likes to cuss?
No. When I'm talking to my daughter, I use a string of them.
Oh, I see.
Keep her on her toes.
So Stacy, apparently a bad girl.
She can be. Okay. Yeah, but she's my love. She is a love.
Has she ever been arrested?
That's a great question.
Not that she's told me.
Okay. All right. We got Dean on that. We'll have the
for you. Public record.
We'll have the photo on our website.
That's what bail bondsmen are for. You don't have to call your relatives.
Just kidding. I'm sorry. This shoe of the week is not brought to you by Chico's.
No, it's brought to you by Napa.
That's the Napa. Now, is that all you're picking?
That's it.
So you're not going to pick the Monday Nighter then?
I'm not.
I thought you said you're going to pick the Colts.
Well, there's no line. I don't know if there's no line. It normally says PK, which means...
Pick them.
Pick them.
No, it means pick them.
Penalty.
And...
Okay, Chick, swear word that starts with the letter P. Go.
Are you crazy?
Wait, am I in on this too?
No.
Marilyn wants in. Too late, my ass, Marilyn.
Okay, Marilyn. Uh-huh. Marilyn, they get mad at me every time I ask this question. I think it's a great question because it reminds me of my mom. Are you cooking for Thanksgiving, Marilyn?
No, I am not.
Oh, very nice. Good.
Are you going to Stacy's house?
No, I'm going to my other daughter's house. In New Albany, Indiana.
Okay. So
she
doing
does
the cooking?
All the cooking. She does all the cooking.
Are you gonna bring anything?
I make the chopped liver.
Oh, wait a second. In this room, I know at least two of us love chopped liver. I'm one of them.
Liver for Thanksgiving?
No,
that's not
pate. Chicken liver. No, I don't like the
chopped
beef.
Chicken liver.
it's for pate, right?
Yes.
What kind of crackers? Do you serve with crackers or little pieces of toast? Oh, be quiet.
Triscuits.
Triscuits.
Delicious. That is delicious. Delicious.
Oh.
Or Wheat Thins. I'm sorry. It's Wheat Thins.
Wheat Thins. Still a very good cracker.
Wait a minute. Wheat Thins?
Yes.
Delicious.
Better idea.
Delicious.
Yeah, Triscuits overrated.
Marilyn, you have a meal. You have a meal of beef liver? Or you have a cocktail?
No, I don't drink.
Oh.
Just the hard drugs, huh, Marilyn?
Does that mean you take drugs, Marilyn? I like the sound of that, too. Marilyn, down there in Florida, it's
Marilyn,
all fresh.
Marilyn, if you don't drink, the romance between you and Chick,
it's over.
It's over before it began.
That yeah, Florida. It's all those drugs fresh right off the boat.
Hey, Marilyn, are you a golfer by chance?
I am.
Oh, maybe you can play golf with our guest Greg Hahn. Golf, they call him the farmer.
Golf. So you sucked all the punchlines out of that in three words.
No, because Greg.
Good job.
Greg doesn't remember why he calls himself the farmer.
Yes, he does.
Because they dig a hole in a backyard or something.
The delivery is important. I could actually have Caliendo do his Greg Hahn impression and do it better than that. List.
You use one club.
Golf is fun. Is it Marilyn?
Yes.
Golf is so fun because you get to yell four. If you yell four, you get to hit people with your ball. It's in the rule book. Sometimes I'm out of balls. I have to run them over with the cart direct.
Okay. Well, Marilyn, these are all some great picks. This is interesting that you and Chick McGee have all the same picks. Chick, you're doubling your Tampa Bay bet. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Double okay. shot here.
Do you want to double any of your bets, Marilyn?
I have an
Go big or go home. That's what Marilyn
You can't
said.
Take it with you, Marilyn.
Damn right.
This changes everything. I've got to write that down, Marilyn. Well, Marilyn,
wait a minute, hold it.
But you see, there's a method to how I choose.
Are you calling? Oh, there me is. Out? Are you calling me out because you're doubling all yours? Are you
no,
trying to
she's
I'm
not.
Kind of
she's
a
not
chicken
to,
that I haven't doubled all mine.
I don't think so. You said you have a method. Wait,
have a method.
Sorry, yes. Josh. Are you going to double all yours?
I choose the team that's the warmest. That's got the warmest climate.
Oh.
And sometimes it works.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's it.
It works as often as you guys who know all the facts.
Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, you got the wrong show.
You've mistaken us.
Don't you dare use facts on this show. Greg Hahn is in the room.
Yeah. I'm going to double. I've already doubled the Tampa Bay pick, right? The double shock?
Yep.
Make that a triple shock.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to double the Jets and double Jacksonville.
Wow. Okay. This is huge.
Now, wait a minute.
This is huge.
Seven. Silly.
This is a huge development. Thank
Hang
you very
on a
much.
Second.
Okay, no cursing. If anybody's going to curse, it's going to be Marilyn. The FCC doesn't know where she
Not
lives.
Me. I'm real happy today.
Okay, yeah, good.
Exactly
having a good day.
Okay, Marilyn.
Are you sure you don't like a highball about 9:30 in the morning?
No. A.M. Marilyn, what is your favorite television show? Do you have one?
I like Doc Martin.
Doc Martin?
That's a shoe.
Yeah.
That's a shoe. Yeah,
Doc Martin. Is that like a BBC show? What is that?
No, it's a story about a doctor who has autism.
Is that a new show?
It's on PBS.
Oh, yeah,
it's
The Good
PBS.
Doctor.
Oh, okay.
On PBS?
Oh.
Yeah.
And Frank Caliendo was featured on The Good Place. I got the show title wrong, sorry.
Yeah, no problem. It's not my show.
Do you know who Jim Rome is?
No.
Uh-oh. Hang on. I'm going to try to go as far along as I can do. Do you know who John Madden is?
Yes.
He's in the studio with us.
Oh, God. He's a quarterback, isn't he?
Yeah, I played quarterback for a couple of years and playing for a while. But when I did, I liked to hit the receivers in the end zone and boom.
Did you play with Brett Favre?
I never got to play with Brett Favre, but I did like a lot of what he did.
Okay, there we go. That was Frank Caliendo and Prestige. I'm trying to think of who she would be familiar with that you
Morgan Freeman, with. Surely.
Ah, yes. There she was, friendly and fiery. Understanding that her Florida lifestyle in Naples was not that of where it could have been. I got lost like a Greg Hahn punchline. Tried to figure out where I was for a second.
Her name is Marilyn.
Marilyn, the perfect name for this beautiful lady who seemed to be gracing our presence.
Wow, that's great.
Well, thank you.
I'm still going.
No.
Tom trying to segue on to something.
No, I just want to say, Marilyn, you picked up on the fact that sounds exactly like Morgan Freeman, correct? Or not. Okay, the thing is...
I don't know.
Okay. Okay, I'm...
No, there were times where Frank would question his ability. This was one of those times.
I got another one for you. Do you know who the very fine actor Jeff Goldblum is? What's his most famous?
Have you ever seen Jurassic Park? Yes.
Independence Day?
Independence Day. Yes. Anything where something blows up, I'm probably going to save the day.
Does that ring a bell at all?
No.
You
see, if this were Jeopardy, your daughter Stacy would be jumping up and down going, Mom!
The audio daily double would not be in your future. It's okay, Marilyn. We still love you. You want to double down?
No. Wait a minute. No, we don't.
No, you don't.
No, we don't.
You don't want to.
Our guest grandmother of the week on the Napa Auto Parts tool.
Marilyn.
Napa Auto Parts shoe-in of the week is Marilyn. And you've done a great job today, Marilyn. Are you a grandmother or just a
I am a great grandmother.
That was the question that I meant to ask.
Wonderful. A grandmother or a great grandmother as well? And the answer was yes.
Now, let me ask you this. Do your grandchildren, do they call you grandma, nana? Do they have a special name?
They call me grandma.
Grandma. Mm-hmm. Okay, very traditional.
And my great grandchildren will call me Gigi when they're big enough to talk.
Oh, very sweet.
That's beautiful.
That's which great grandma.
Which grandchild do you dislike the most?
Hey,
No.
Yes.
Like Timmy's coming over, and you roll your eyes.
Marilyn, you have my permission when you come. If you ever get near town, I'm going to hand you a large oar, and you can hit Josh in the face.
Honey, lock up the silverware. Timmy's coming over. Kid stole us blind the last time.
Okay. Our grandmother once again is Marilyn. What is the make of the first automobile you ever drove? Do you remember?
A Plymouth.
Plymouth. Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what the name of the car was?
No, I don't.
Fury? Remember the Plymouth?
It was 1956.
Okay.
Wow. Hmm. Did they have baby seats in 1956, or did you just heave the kid in the back and hope for the best?
Yeah, heave the kid in the back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Told him to sit still.
I don't think they... I don't know.
She's right. I don't think they did.
Sit still. If we hit anything, go limp. Yeah. That's
you know the mom's seatbelt. This, you know, where you put your arm out to keep the kid from flying through the front.
Wow. So that explains a lot about Stacy, huh? That's why she submitted your name to this show. Well, tell Stacy thank you. I'm sure she's a lovely person, and
she is.
She says that you are the greatest, and sharing her wonderful mom with us is such a great thing to do. So, best of luck with your picks. Well, and this is the boldest move a grandmother has made this season,
by far.
Okay, what's on your schedule for today, Marilyn? Anything important?
I have a meeting. I have a meeting at 10 o'clock.
Okay, well, good. Well, go enjoy your
meeting. Well, you better go.
I have a meeting too at 10 o'clock. I'd rather attend yours than mine. okay, thanks so much, Marilyn. Thank you, Stacy.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye. Oh, she was great. If you want to submit your granny, it's granny@bobandtom.com. I didn't ask her age, but it's written on this piece of paper.
How old is she?
41.
She is a.
she sounds 41.
I know. No, she is. I'll just say she is an octogenarian.
Oh, really?
30 years old. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Same joke.
Octogenarian.
Worst delivery. Okay.
She literally sounded 45 years old.
She's old! Now, let's play a game. Who was that, Greg or Frank?
That is a fun game.
Because Tom wasn't looking. Who was it?
I wasn't watching.
It's a 50-50.
I wish I could do Jeff Goldblum, because how would Jeff Goldblum answer that?
I know exactly who it was.
It was Frank. No.
I have a question for Mr. Hahn.
Yes.
Do you do any impressions in your
zero
act?
Nothing. I do Jeanette. I impersonate Jeanette, who I used to date. And when I say, Jeanette, you want to go to dinner? She'd say, I'll let you know a little later. I say, I'll let you know right now. I already ate! I don't stand
stupid
for it.
Jeanette.
Greg Hahn, the legendary Mr. Hahn at Wiley's this weekend. Is it Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Friday, Saturday.
Okay, Friday, Saturday. Don't you pay attention?
What are you doing
over there? Are you clicking on things? What are you doing? What is that you're doing over there?
And Friday, a week from Friday.
Why are you pointing to the green sheet?
Because it says...
What's on that green paper? How did it get green?
It says Thursday.
Has that been sitting there in a swamp? Is that a swamp paper? Kermit the Frog, he lived in the swamp. Probably my favorite frog. Next to Hoppy. Wait, Hoppy was the name of the bunny I was listening on the way in.
Hoppy's a rabbit.
Jokes around. Give it up, everybody. I'm circling my finger. I don't know what it means. I'm at a rodeo in my head.
Frank Caliendo, Crystal Grand Theater, a week from Friday, Wisconsin Dells.
I had a rodeo in my head.
I may never do the break. Okay, I will. This is the Bob and Tom Show. Welcome back. This is the Bob and Tom Show. Gotta throw some Visine in my eyes. I'm crying from laughing. Because we have great guests in the studio. They would include that man, Frank Kelly. Frank's in the zone. I look over there and it's my...
I was a Greg Hahning in my mind. Between two Hans.
Greg Hahn is here with us.
Hey, everybody.
Thank you very much. Let me get a couple of plugs in. First off, did I mention that we're in the Napa Auto Parts Studios, home of the Napa Tool of the Week tomorrow? We also have Christy Lee right there.
Yep.
And this makes no sense if this was a run-on sentence. I'd run out of gas here. That's Joshy.
Hey.
That's me. No, that's I'm me. That's Chick. Chick. Thank you.
Hi.
The legendary Ace Cosby, our engineer today. Thank you very much, Ace.
Hola.
Always a good job. Ace, of course, learning Spanish. And Greg Hahn is here with us.
Spanish! I got jokes for that!
Hey. Greg is on his way to...
Buenos nachos!
Greg is on his way to Wiley's Comedy Club. Now, we have the reason I was staring at the paper earlier is this...
I like some of that Japolino on my taco!
Yeah!
Greg, you wrote Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I did.
This says
that was a huge mistake.
Friday, Saturday. Okay, you'll have to call the
That's
club
right,
and
yes.
find out.
Then you have to correct it. You get two plugs. That's how we do it. Hey, circle it.
Rodeo in my
hand. Oh, that's Frank Caliendo doing Frank Caliendo.
Rodeo of the mind. There's theater of the mind. There's what I'm doing right now.
Now we have. We have also Frank Caliendo.
Now you see what we have to deal with.
Frank Caliendo is going to be
no picnic.
Tick, tick, now we're tick. All doing Greg on
the legendary Crystal Grand Theater in the Wisconsin Dells. A week from tomorrow evening, it will be Mr. Caliendo in concert. It will be a wonderful program, and Frank will be there also. Now, I missed half the conversation. Greg is a single man.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Should I marry a super smart girl and get a dog? Or marry a girl that's not as smart, she counts as both. No, I know the exact girl I want to marry.
Who do you want to marry?
I've got it worked out with Christy. This is the kind of woman I'm going to marry. Honey, I'm home.
Oh, enjoy your steak and booze. I'll just be upstairs covered in pudding.
The greater one.
There it is.
Wait a minute, I got another one. Honey, I'm home.
If you want to visit your old girlfriend, that's fine with me. I just have some laundry to do.
Rodeo in my hand.
Rodeo in my hand.
Some people do comedy for the art.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some people do it for the money. Some people do it for the art. But I do it for the money.
So you're single right now, right?
Yeah, sure. Why would I?
No one out there right now, necessarily.
Okay. I like a girl with a delightful sneeze. I'm looking for that.
Oh, okay. Good, yeah.
Like a little...
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, sure. These are all acceptable.
Chick, do you have the theme music?
Frank is amused and abhored.
Yeah.
It's
making me laugh for the whole show.
Fantastic.
He's so horrified with my every joke. It makes me laugh.
Thank you, Jimenez, with Tom. Tom?
Frank Caliendo is here. We still love Frank's John Madden. It's one of our favorites. Always will be. It's a classic.
It's not as good as this one, though. This one's going to take the world by storm, which is a great game to play with little kids. Storm. Just take all their bedding, swaddle them.
Hurricane.
And then dunk them. Doesn't get any better than that. Hey,
hurricane.
Kids, you been in the bathtub lately while wearing linens? Tell your nana. Grandma, whoever you want to call her.
Okay,
I can help better.
Get the Bob and Tom app just so you can listen to this show again.
Wiley's.
Okay. That's Wiley's is where you may or may not find Han tonight. I have no idea.
Not tonight.
Friday.
Not tonight. Friday. Come on. Pay attention. Green paper.
The organic boiled eggs in the green room are much, much tastier. We just did a little taste test. Let's see. Frank does a great Norm MacDonald. Blah, 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 blah.
I got to do the row. The Scalpelson doesn't pay for itself.
Okay. Now, can you show me once again how to win any political argument?
Sure. Okay. Chick.
Chick.
Yes.
Chick.
We're going to do a political argument.
Okay, I got you.
We'll start arguing.
Well, let's just agree to disagree.
How about you eat a crab sandwich? Boom.
That's what you missed. Thank you very much. And get the Bob and Tom app, won't you? And also, we've got a special contest. You can win a Ms. Pat's new autobiography. Check that out on the Bob and Tom app thing, which is out there somewhere in the ether. This is the Bob and Tom Show.
It's the Bob and Tom Show.
You asked for it, you got it. More Bob and Tom. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
It's Columbus Day.
Yes, it is.
You were going to look at me and go, colossal ass bag. You started saying Columbus.
Okay. It's Columbus Day. And
Or Indigenous
Day. What does this mean anymore? Does this mean some schools are out, some aren't?
I know schools don't call it Columbus Day anymore.
They call it fall break most of the time. Yeah.
Fall observance or something. Right. Like. Mm-hmm.
But it does mean that the banks are closed. Is that correct?
But
post office not open?
Yeah. I can.
Yes, that's how it affects you, Tom. The banks and the post offices
are
closed.
What am I supposed to do? Go...
What, not go to the bank or the post office one day? Yeah, okay. Take a break.
Yeah, you can go to a movie or something.
Okay, that's what I was going to do.
Right.
Really?
Really?
You're going to relax for the day?
I'm trying to warn listeners.
You know, I bet if you do.
They may not count on doing any banking today.
I think it's a banker's holiday.
I bet if he does relax, he doesn't.
Here's everything closed on Columbus Day. Banks, post offices, national parks. Are you ready? Stock market, government offices.
No Yosemite today? Son of
no
a...
No Yosemite today. Sorry.
Okay.
Well. Some schools do observe Columbus Day. Most do not. Alaska, Vermont, Hawaii, and South Dakota do not celebrate Columbus
and
Day.
Price is slightly higher.
Alaska and Vermont celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot to get to here. Now, Christy, you said there's a story about breaking up and there's some kind of new technique.
I don't know if it's new, but here we go. What's the best way to let your soon-to-be ex know that you're breaking up? Well, a recent study has determined.
Leave town? Change your name?
The best way to deliver bad news.
Dear Penelope.
Would you?
Surrender me, it says.
Dorothy.
What's the best way?
Researchers found people receiving bad news about a social relationship, such as a breakup or getting fired, preferred directness, candor, and very little buffer.
Of course.
BYU linguistics professor Alan Manning said an immediate "I'm breaking up with you" might be a little too direct.
But could you pass the salt?
He said it in a little.
But what you should say is, "We need to talk."
Oh.
Use that as a buffer.
Come on.
No, you don't. That's trite.
That gives the person process the bad that there's a few seconds to process the bad news.
Start with the word "look." Always do that.
No,
just, look.
Yeah,
look.
I think you start with, here's the deal, you're out.
The magnificent LA? Greg Hahn, you could text him. Eight years, good run, I'm out, send.
But how come the phrase "we need to talk," it never ends with, "we need to talk about having more sex."
Yeah, no.
No, it's always bad news.
It's always, we need to talk about your drinking.
Or right.
We need to talk about,
Your whore, or whatever it might be.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you take the trash out for your whore.
We need to talk. By the way, I have a new phone number, and I'm not telling you what it is. How about that?
And I'm getting major facial reconstruction surgery. So
they say you should break up in person, too.
I agree with that.
Oh, you mean it is?
Well, isn't there
check out my Facebook page. You'll notice.
Yeah, I changed my status.
Isn't there a formula? Oh, I think that's a true thing.
That is a true thing.
You go from in a relationship to
single.
It's complicated to single.
And that's how people find out they've been how cowardly and crappy.
Yeah.
That's right. Welcome to the world of adults.
Hey, Christy, look, we need to talk. It's not me. It's you.
I gave everything I could to this.
Reverse the classic.
Oh, God.
There we go. So this is a scientific study about how to break up.
Yeah, it really doesn't tell you much except for be direct.
Okay.
Hello, Bob and Tom Show.
Hey, Bob and Tom, it's Donnie.
Hey, Donnie.
This will help.
How come they're making such a big deal about how to break up with chicks?
I don't know.
Hell, I broke up with three chicks this month already.
Really?
How do you do it?
Well, the key is you let them down easy, Tom.
Huh.
Here's my go-to. I tell them, sorry, baby, you're sort of like a scratcher now. Once you've rubbed it, all the mystery's gone. I mean, I'll be honest. I probably know more about letting chicks down easy than anybody I know of.
Uh-huh, right.
The key is you have to be honest and direct, but not say anything that's going to hurt their feelings. Like, I'd be like, hey, Angel, I know we've had our fun. But now I want to have some fun with your sister because she's smoking hot. Plus, you've put on 5 pounds since we got together.
Oh, my gosh.
And as I told you in the beginning, that's a deal breaker.
Donnie.
I'm going to let you out the pasture to graze since that appears to be the only thing you're in love with anyway.
Oh, man.
Then I hit send and block her number.
Uh-huh.
No matter what you say or how you say it, Christy, admit it. You know she'll just turn around and start telling all her friends that I stabbed her in the back right to her face.
Because
it don't matter how you go. Oh, and then she'll tell them also that those weren't heat bumps after all. I gotta go.
Okay. Thank you, Donnie. Okay.
Like the red things you get after shaving, that kind of thing.
No, I mean, it's obviously some kind of
sexual disease or unpleasant
rash.
Yikes.
Right, right.
undesirable breakout.
So you're supposed to break up. You're supposed to say, we need to talk, followed immediately by a...
Direct, we're breaking up. Like, I guess.
Okay.
You know, this is...
By the way, do you mind if I keep your apartment? It's very nice here.
Boy, I don't
Plus
miss
all
this
my stuff's here. Is
that I don't okay? miss breaking up.
Now, Christy, yes or no, did you at one time place a certain man's clothing on the front lawn?
Yeah, it was somebody that was kind of living at my house at the time. I was very young. Mm-hmm. But
no, you did you?
I was in my 20s.
Just tell the truth.
Did you set the clothing on fire?
No, you, I didn't set it on fire.
Did you call him and tell him it was there, or did he?
Now, this was back before, believe it or not, before cell phones.
Well, there were telephones.
There were telephones, but there weren't cell phones, so you couldn't find out where people were. And he was in a. Here's a surprise. He was in a band.
Ah.
God, every time I do this story, I get a phone call from him. I feel
oh,
really? Bad.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to bring
no,
it up.
No, that's all right. But he didn't come home. On a, you know,
so,
band gigs are over on Saturday night normally, and he didn't get home until Monday.
Ah.
But he had my roommate's car. Ace knows all about this.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. So she couldn't go to work. It was a long, bad story.
Did he ever get his clothes back?
Yeah, he came and got them. He had to because it was going to rain in about an hour, so it was...
Okay.
That's a good way to break up, though. All you have to do is go, hey, your stuff is on the front lawn. You better come get it. It's going to rain in an hour. And you don't have to talk to him.
Yeah, very good. Okay, good, good. Good to know. What else?
We're friends now, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it sounds like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Around 2,000 men and women across 12 regions in the UK were asked about how big a man's penis was when erect and whether that affected a happy sex life.
Okay.
Apparently, men in Wales have the largest members at 6.56 inches.
They're unlike whales. Of course they do.
Well, you talk about...
Goes without saying.
Not whales. Whales!
Oh. Men in London.
Remember when you were a kid and you'd read about these gorillas attacking troops and you think, oh, wow, that's amazing. And then you realize, oh, wait a minute, it's not like the
They're
big monkeys.
They're not animals.
Right.
Sorry, it's real confusing.
Not all of us did that. Made that mistake. Right.
Yeah.
It was just me. So men and whales aren't hung like whales.
The arms race doesn't mean appendage. Okay, never mind.
Men in London came in second at 6.51. Gosh, we're splitting hairs here, aren't we? 5/100ths of an inch? That's good.
Well,
how do they?
More is more, less is less.
Who has that gig?
I don't know, but Welsh blokes are the most.
Where do you measure from?
Hmm.
I never understood this. Remember you guys that? Have them. I don't. So
wasn't
go for
that
it.
Tom Jones? Remember he had an anaconda in his pants or something? Remember that? All
oh,
the
yeah,
time?
The singer. Yeah. Yeah. He was from
no
Tom, Wales.
The drywaller.
Oh yes, yeah, he's a Welshman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's from Wales.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Maybe, then he allegedly has a whale. So there you go. That's
Welsh blokes may be the best endowed in Britain, but East Midland men deliver the most satisfaction.
Isn't it convenient that that part of your body doesn't make a sound like your Your stomach rumbles.
Oh, I get it.
Wouldn't that be, you know, when it was excited?
That would really make for a different world, wouldn't it?
That would change everything.
Would you
What's
like
that
some,
sound? It's my stomach.
Would you like some cheesecake, sir? Oh, apparently yes.
Oh, my.
What do you mean? You've got a hard-on for the waitress? What's going on here?
Oh, the cake. Oh, not this again, honey.
Oh, that's funny.
Talk about a fight starter.
Yeah.
Yikes.
That'd be bad.
By the way, the study shows that size doesn't matter when it comes to keeping ladies happy, I guess. That was the whole point of the story.
Well, you're the lady in the room. Is that true?
Said by the guy who has a small penis.
No, it doesn't matter.
Size doesn't matter. It's how mm-hmm. they use it, as they say.
Yeah. It's not the size of the ocean.
You don't advise chuckling upon the reveal.
Never chuckled?
Or using the word cute.
No.
Is that
guys,
it?
Guys don't like cute. Oh, you're so cute.
Do you call
Your
it Pepe?
Penis is so cute.
Okay, sorry.
I don't know how cute this guy's is, but a video filmed in China shows a Kung Fu monk pulling a 19-ton coach bus using his penis.
Kung Fu monk?
Kung Fu monk.
It does.
Chow Yun Fat?
Yep. Footage of the unnamed martial artist.
Slow down. What'd you say?
He's pulling a 19-ton coach bus using his penis.
Oh,
footage
again?
Of the unnamed martial artist shows him dragging a bus using a rope attached to what appears to be his genitals, which are concealed beneath a long white tunic.
Now, in the beginning of the video, he gets about 3 feet and the bus doesn't move at all.
Oh.
Those first few feet are the rough part.
Yeah, because you're like, one of these is going to give. Either the bus or my...
Haven't we done this enough?
These stories keep popping up.
Okay.
Yeah. In the video, the pantless monk walks backwards with discernible concentration. Do you think? While onlookers cheer, it was reportedly filmed in Huizhou in China's Guangdong province.
Of course it was.
Of course it was.
Wow.
Gotta have a dong in it.
How do you...
Gotta have a
why
dong.
Do you do that? This guy has to be single.
Boy.
Well, he's a monk.
He's a monk. Yes. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, I guess. So you tell the fellas, hey, listen, while you guys sit here and don't talk to each other, I'm going to go attach my penis to a bus because I've been thinking a lot, and that's what the Lord told me to do.
You know what? I don't want to hear another one of these stories unless the bus is filled with people. Wouldn't that be funny?
How many?
What?
Did you say it was several tons?
Why would that matter?
It's already several tons.
Right.
So what's another?
I just want the bus to be filled with people going, yay!
Now like, you got something.
Kind of hanging out the windows.
I'm trying to find a
pull picture. Us with your.
Maybe the secrets of the masked magician. He could show how it's done.
Yeah.
I bet there's a trick to it. Got to be a trick to it.
Well, here it is. And wow, it's a large bus.
Yeah, 19 tons. That's a big bus.
And there are a bunch of people watching.
19 tons, and what do you get?
Another a penis mouth that's stretched to the point of...
Oh, and of course... Oh, there are people...
Yeah.
Oh, wait,
it's wrecked.
Once it's moving, he throws his arms out, you know, like...
to balance himself so he doesn't fall over.
And there are, of course, there are people everywhere with cameras.
Can anybody do this? Are all of our penises that strong?
I don't know. You want to try it? We could go outside right
what
now.
What do you want? Time to go bite?
Why don't we start with a skateboard?
Yeah. And
then we'll work
and
our
then
way
we'll flip
up.
The skateboard. Yeah. Oh,
I don't think I can pull a roller bus. Skate. Are you guys crazy?
Stay tuned. More Bob and Tom Extra is next.
Something that I'd really like to say. I'm glad that we're together every day. I wanted you to know I've always got your back, and I'll be right here behind you all the way. I'm your butt crack. I'm your butt crack. Between your buns is where I'll always be. I'm soaking up the shade down where the fudge is made. I'm your butt crack, that's me. A butt crack comes in handy, I'm not kidding. I do my best to keep your sphincter hidden. Sorry about those skid marks in your BBDs. Last night you ate burritos. Too bad you had to sneeze. I'm your butt crack. I'm your butt crack. That pungent part of your anatomy. Something everybody's got. Some are hairy, some are not. I'm your butt crack. That's me.
It's the aperture that's meant to touch.
Where the sun don't shine.
The gap in your gluteus maximus.
That's the bottom line. I'm your butt crack. I'm your butt crack. I could use a change of scenery. I'm the crevice in your tail. I'd be popular in jail. I'm your butt crack.
He's your butt crack.
I'm your butt crack. That's me. Life sure is sweet in the middle of your seat.
If you missed something yesterday, maybe you'll hear it now. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
This is the Bob and Tom Show.
Hello.
With us in the studio, Dr. Will Miller, psychologist, comedian, television personality.
Quack.
Quack. And
now he admits it.
We have Christy Lee announced, yes. Announced this morning. We were talking about lingerie, and you made an interesting point, which is that when a man is out of your life, so is that lingerie. It is retired.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there might be someone listening right now who could be wearing conceivably some of your old lingerie.
the nicer things, like nightgowns, and they may have donated, but the rest of it I throw away.
Male or female, you think is wearing it?
Well, they'd have to be a pretty small guy.
They have to be a tiny guy.
Jockey? Jockey?
Yeah.
Okay. Or. Put my silks on. Yeah.
Or.
Oh, yeah. No, I meant what? This silky little number here. Yeah.
That was a big fat pinch I just threw at you.
Maybe the guy likes it tight.
Tight. Wow. Most guys do.
That was a slow pitch.
Hey! There you go.
Wow. Yeah, and I'm supposed to say something, and then you'll go, all right. I don't know how this all got started.
Hey, all right, nothing to enjoy more.
Tightness and looseness, but let's just stop it right now.
Bob and Tom show.
Oh, hello there, Sonny. It's Morgan Freeman.
Oh, hey, Morgan.
I'm fine. Thank you very kindly.
I'm glad to hear that.
Heard you talking about lingerie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, reminds me of my good friend, Andy Dufresne.
Oh, does it really?
Andy Dufresne spent 19 years in Shawshank Prison.
Uh-huh.
That's 1 year shy of 2 decades. Yeah. During that time, Andy was forced to play dress-up for the many bull queers who passed by.
Really?
Those crafty bull queers fashioned a garter belt for Andy out of shoestrings, paper bags, and just about anything else they could find.
Really?
Wow. There was all kinds of role-play in prison, Sonny.
Oh, really?
The most important role was for one of the bull queers to keep an eye out for the guards.
Uh-huh.
On the outside, this person might be called a lookout or a spy.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
But in prison, it's what's known as the pitcher's helper.
Thanks. Good to know.
Oh, Andy.
That
was the longest
night of your life. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Get busy.
Get busy dying.
Okay.
Damn right.
Very nice. Anyway. One of our callers suggested not only did all of her panties and underwear go when the relationship was over, the dishes, the towels.
No, I can't afford that.
It seems like
she changed houses.
I did get a new bedspread or a new comforter, but that's just because of the season. You know, right. I lightened up for summer.
Oh, what?
Yeah, you got to lighten up for summer, so I changed it.
You don't
so
use the same bedspread for the whole
year? No, because
year?
I have one of those big down comforters and it gets too much in the summertime, so I lightened it up for the summer and got really pretty colors.
But you don't throw away the old one. You say
no, I bring it back out in the winter.
I see.
Okay. Now, do you, in fact, get new sheets?
I did get new sheets because they had to go with a new comforter.
No. But I mean, when the man is gone, when it's over between you and the man, you don't get new sheets.
No, those, I don't have any.
You don't have any
sheets.
Kind of. You don't
is
have
that
any.
Okay?
They don't give you a bad vibe.
No.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No, because they never used the sheets. They were all over the room.
Right.
Wow.
Or we
old
never.
Wooden chair.
Never used the bed.
She had to recarpet, though.
Breathe new life into that old drab piece of furniture with a suction cup.
Oh. How come we're getting new granite countertops? I thought these were very expensive.
They're supposed to last for life. Mm-hmm.
There's a.
No.
You don't have a bed issue. The bed itself needed to be changed.
I have my Select Comfort bed. It's not going away
anymore. Okay.
Ever.
Just asking. These are all
just changes.
Well,
she'll no longer stay at room 612 at the Hampton Inn.
No, that's right. They have more than five levels.
By the way,
Bob. Yeah,
thanks for upgrading it to a Will. Thanks for upgrading it to a Hampton Inn.
I think they only have three floors, but nice.
Bob
to
and that. Tom show.
Oh, hi, fellas. This is Herm Johnson.
Oh, Christ.
Hey, Herm. How are you?
That's perfect.
Good to talk to you too, Bob. How are you? Hey, I tell you what.
Hey, Herm, did you bet on the Derby?
Yeah, I sure as hell did. That son of a bitch, I bet on lost.
I'll bet he did.
Yeah. Hey, you were talking about changing underwear. Do you know Marguerite changes her underwear two, three, four times a day?
No kidding.
Yeah.
Why's well, no. We don't mean just changing.
Mean changing.
We mean when Christy is it's over with a man, she gets all new underwear.
That's totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been with her for what, 70 years?
Yeah. Well, let me figure it up here. We were married in 1939.
Wow.
I was 19. She was 17. God, boy, I want to kill her. Hold on. Uh-huh. I think she's... Hold. What? Hold. Is she trying to... Hold on. Marguerite, what is it that you want, honey? She's in the... Marguerite, can you come in here? Can you come in here? Hold on. She can't. I'm going to have to yell for her.
All right.
The venom.
You can.
He really sounds upset.
He does.
I think it helps him somehow.
Since 39, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Oh, well.
Okay.
I have a story. Oh. We haven't done any news.
What? We haven't done any news.
I haven't done one story.
I know, but I have one that kind of ties into this.
So do I.
Oh, I bet it's the same one. Does it involve a dead guy?
No.
All right, let's go with Christie's first. All right.
Why would it involve a dead guy? We're talking about sex. It's a good thing.
Go ahead.
Sex with a dead guy.
Mine is super creepy.
I think you're getting worse.
Hmm.
Christy? So
you'll see the tie-in. Just
the Passion app. Yes, it's a new application for the iPhone. The phone's motion sensors and microphones take a series of readings during sex and rates the user's performance in bed.
Where are you supposed to put your phone?
Well, Bob.
Well, that's why it's the new cork-shaped phone.
Where's your phone supposed to be?
It's on vibrate. Call me repeatedly.
Yeah, but if you'd use this app, always use a Bluetooth after.
You start the program, then you strap the phone to your arm or belt.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, right. That's not going to be at all.
And then press stop when the lovemaking is over.
What belt are you wearing during lovemaking?
The program then gives a rating from bad to perfect on three criteria: duration, activity, and orgasm.
Oh, brother.
Duration monitored by the phone's timer. Activity through the accelerometer, a motion sensor.
It's like the orgasmatron.
Mm-hmm.
And the orgasm via the microphone. So you have to have a vocal orgasm to make it.
Oh, I see.
This is very unreliable.
All readings are combined to create a score out of 10.
I'm very skeptical.
Are you?
You know, I just don't see.
It takes the romance out.
Yeah, you know, I got to strap something on. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Kind of takes your eye off the new underwear that you bought.
Yeah.
A lot of times I just wear a belt.
Well, I like
it. You know, that's what I'm going to do is start wearing a belt when I have it.
Right. When you say
holster,
I got to clip my iPhone to
look at my new buckle.
When you say I'm going to strap something on, and she takes one look at that and goes, ah.
Hello.
The next morning, the underwear goes.
I like the length, but I don't know. I'm not a toaster.
So you don't want the sexual performance iPhone app? Huh?
No, I don't think so.
I got to really fit. Okay, this ties in. Super creepy way. This
ties in what?
Well, with throwing away, out with the old, in with the new.
All right.
The body?
Yeah, this is on a much creepier level. Fortunately, we have Dr. Will Miller, psychologist, to help us analyze this.
Okay.
Now, again, to get the setup here, Christy has said that when the man is out of her life, the lingerie is gone, the panties are gone, everything is anew.
Well, that's not what I said. I said when I get a new guy.
You get new lingerie.
I get new stuff. And
you throw away the old.
Yes.
I'll still wear it until I get new stuff.
But they change their status to transition.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
How does this tie in?
Well, it's a little bit dark.
Well, I have a story about a dead guy. It's a bit dark.
Kind of a...
There may be no comedy down this road. This is the...
I think you complained about that early in the show.
I think you're looking at the glass half empty.
Okay, let me just bear with me for a second.
All right, go ahead.
You guys have been in the store. Say during the racing season, you walk in and there's a cool cardboard cutout of one of your favorite drivers.
Sure. Oh yeah, life size.
Life size.
Right.
Maybe holding a case of beer or something.
Or a Pepsi.
Sure.
Or a Coke.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
A British widow says she has kept the life-size cardboard cutout of her late husband since he died last year. Maria Chalice of Ness, England, said the cutout of her late husband, Paul, was made for his funeral in July of 2009, and she cannot bring herself to throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
Aw, where does she keep it?
I hope not in the bedroom.
That'd be a deterrent for the next guy.
Yeah.
Unless it's an away game.
You can always turn him around, have him waving at people out the window.
Hey, Paul, how am I doing?
Does he have to watch?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Isn't that sick?
That's creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy.
It's symbolic. I mean, it's two-dimensional. Maybe that's how she felt about her relationship with him. You cardboard cut out, useless piece of...
No, she obviously can't get rid of it. She can't say goodbye to him. Although I understand now that he's a cardboard cutout, he's a much better listener.
Yes, he is.
He really sits there, doesn't break into conversation.
Mm-hmm.
He just sits there and
doesn't interrupt her.
Keep going.
Well, that's what we call complicated grief.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so it did take all of the air out of the room, didn't it?
Yeah. Good job.
Wonder if she
wonder if she changed underwear when he died.
Let's go back down the funny road instead of
Not necessarily. Does she change underwear in front of the cardboard cutout and say, "See, Larry, how do you like me now?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Or does she put underwear on his face?
Mm-hmm. Maybe she taunts him. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't know what she's doing with this. We assume
this
that it's
woman?
A memorial, but maybe it's a target for her abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's like anything else around the house. When if it's there long enough, pretty soon you start hanging stuff on it. And,
Oh,
yeah.
You know, sure.
It's cardboard. It won't hold much.
No, it won't.
Maybe a pair of panties. Here, these will dry overnight.
Put a coat on him.
These will dry overnight. I'll put them right on his head.
Oh, honey, you look chilly.
Mm-hmm. I see. I thought that was just kind of interesting. Okay, here we go. This is a fascinating story. This has a science angle, Dr. Will, and I know that you're in your own.
I'm a social scientist.
Crackpot way of scientist. We have a.
This is a highly respected professional.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. In other environments.
You don't have to say here.
Listen
I do.
This.
You don't.
When I leave here, I'm changing my clothes.
Dr. Will, listen to this. Genetic testing shows that an unusual bear that was shot in Canada's high Arctic region was a cross between a grizzly bear and a polar bear.
Ooh.
Experts say.
Interspecies sex.
Experts say, well, they're the same species, right? Grizzly bear, polar bear, variations.
Well, they're both bears.
Well, the Bruin had white fur like a polar bear, but a big head, long claws, and a ring of brown fur around his hind, normally found in the grizzly bear.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Canadian West News Service,
any bear in a storm.
The bear had been shot by a...
any bear in a storm. I say that all the time.
Had been shot by a hunter April 8th on ice in the sea west of Victoria Island.
There's got to be some sort of super bear.
Well, I bet
these
bear
are the two
was,
meanest bears on the face of the earth.
I bet
they?
The bear was bullied as a cub.
I bet he was.
Appearance.
The animal
picked on all the time.
Yeah. Now listen to this.
I don't have to sit here and listen to this.
No. Huh?
Now, what do you think they call a cross between
a growler?
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah.
Were you?
A
pizzly.
You know what I got? A growler with cheese. Man, are those good.
Pizzly.
Woo! Pizzly.
You're both right.
What?
The Northwest Territories Environment and Natural Resources Department said in a release, the animal may be the first recorded second-generation pizzly or growler found in the wild, which is a combination of a grizzly and a polar bear.
Those don't sound frightening.
A growler.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Now, I did a little research here, and I found out that a cross between a polar bear and a black bear is known as the Polack bear, which...
Really?
Interestingly enough, enjoys bowling. Accordion music,
bowling,
and has a very difficult time, according to all of its friends, changing a light bulb.
He keeps walking around, go, look what I just stepped in. Yeah.
And now everybody's forgotten about the dead guy cutout. Thank God.
Yeah.
God.
Until you just part it up again.
Okay, finally.
The growler.
He's not going to stop.
I have
the,
this
is a happy story. This is a nice story. It leads
to... You know,
to
we actually have a girl who does news.
You're going to be sitting in here all by yourself.
Okay.
That's the goal, I think.
One of these days, it's going to happen.
If he were honest, that would be the goal.
Well, he actually feels like he already is.
He does act like he already is.
I have been telling the same joke. This one particular joke.
We're tired of it.
For 30 years. Dr. Will, I'll tell you this joke.
All right.
Yes.
And finally, I now have a great launching point for this show.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the true story that, Christy, United Airlines is merging with?
Continental.
That's right.
Yeah, big story today.
Big news story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For years, I predicted. You've flown to Europe, right, Dr. Will?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever fly on the National Airline of Ireland?
Do you know what that is?
Aer Lingus.
Aer Lingus.
We always thought that Continental and Aer Lingus should merge.
I'm not sure what they'd call themselves.
I think it'd be Contalingus, I believe.
Where else would you go?
Man, we lick the other planes like you wouldn't believe.
I've loved that joke for 30 years.
Yes, it's a good one.
It's a good one. It is a good one.
Regarding the dead guy cutout story, I received this from our producer, Dean. Evidently, Tom missed a big part of it.
Uh-oh.
She took the cutout as her date to a friend's wedding.
Oh, see, now...
Now you got a problem.
Now we're into psychology.
You forgot that part.
He was due to go to a friend's wedding some weeks after he died.
You know what? He left with a bridesmaid.
He didn't make it. He didn't make it, but his cutout did. Some people might raise eyebrows, but who is anyone to say what is the right and the wrong way to deal with grief?
I like Bob's idea. He was up there like Sonny in The Godfather with one of the bridesmaids.
Oh, come on. Oh, my.
Wake up. More Bob and Tom Extra is on the way next. For those of you who always need something extra, well, here you go. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
We have some guests in here sitting in for Chick McGee. Ex-cop, comedian Todd McComas. He's a badass.
Toddy.
Hey, guys.
You have to wear a shirt that says retired so you remember?
This is my boss's shirt that he came out with, but I was like, will you also send me one since I'm also retired?
I got it. Okay.
I kind of like it.
Your boss is the distinguished former NFL kicker, Mr. Pat McAfee.
Yes.
And that's why he's got the big retired thing. Is he thinking of coming out of retirement still?
Thinking about that? You're putting words into people's mouths again.
He said if the check were big enough. And
oh, my gosh.
I think he could go to Tampa Bay right now and get a job.
Sure.
Their kicker missed 3 field goals against the New England Patriots last night. And he's actually missed 5 of his first 7 attempts. So,
yeah,
somebody's going to be in the unemployment line.
So. Speaking of unemployed. Wait a minute. No, that's not true.
We're all employed in this room.
I don't know. We got a guest in the studio. He's a comedian. And
he's employed this weekend. We know that.
You say Florentine, I say Florentine. Which one do you opt for?
Florentine.
Florentine. Okay.
If I'm out in Hollywood, it's Florentine. It sounds Jewish, so it's easier for me to get on a TV show.
You have such a nice speaking voice. We were talking about this off the air. I thought you'd be a good voiceover guy doing commercials. And you have a slight accent, though. Where are you from?
New Jersey.
Yeah, okay. What part?
Central Jersey, like Old Bridge area.
Yeah. Did you go to high school there and college and everything?
High school, college, yeah. I lived in Florida for a couple of years. We're pretty much Jersey. But I hear Boston. I hear England, Australia.
You know, you're wearing a Black Sabbath vintage T-shirt, or is that a remake?
No, it's a remake. Nobody can fit in their vintage T-shirts. Yeah, it's the 1978 tour, or even if it was 85. You know what I mean? And we're like, oh, that's a vintage one. Yeah, but you didn't buy it in 85.
Did you actually see that tour?
I did see it back in the day, yes.
Do you have any memory of it at all?
No, because I was like 12 years old, and everybody smoked pot at those shows, and they would just pass. So I was just in a cloud of pot smoke, and I was completely high, and I don't remember anything about it.
But it was a good time?
It was a great time, yeah. I had to get Visine on the way home and Banaca spray, because the Visine for the red in my eyes, because my mom let me go to a show, my older brothers, and then the Banaca for your breath.
Yeah.
And I was good. Yeah, that's the two things you needed.
Right, but you probably remember more about that show than Ozzy, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. And Van Halen opened. It was their first time.
Oh, my
gosh. Wow. It was their first tour right when their album came out. So.
Whew.
I don't remember them either. I thought David Lee Roth was a chick. I'm like, she's pretty hot. Because I was in the nosebleed seats.
Apparently takes karate. We're talking with a Jim Florentine, comedian. Now, before we learn more about Jim, and I know there's going to be a lot of questions because he is a heavy metal ace. Christy Lee?
What?
You mentioned the pumpkin spice again now is in the news. Which one is it this time?
A pumpkin spice air freshener caused an evacuation at a Maryland high school. Fire and hazmat crews were called to Crito Rey Jesuit High School in Baltimore on Thursday.
How do they spell that?
Crito? Crito?
Crito?
Crito?
It's not like Credo.
Crito.
It sounds like some bad joke.
Over a strange odor. Crito Rey?
Crito. It sounds like somebody got Frito-Lay wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds like, yeah.
Well, I'm just going by what's typed here. Is that correctly spelled? Yeah, I don't know. Fire officials told 11 News.
We're on your side.
The source of the irritant was a pumpkin spice air freshener. The school's president contends the odor may have been from a burned out light bulb.
Huh.
2 students and 3 adults were taken to the hospitals with unknown injuries, while dozens of students were triaged at the scene for a smell.
What?
What?
Soft. S-A-W-F-T. Soft. Kids are soft.
The Baltimore City Fire Department conducted extensive testing and declared the building to be safe. There's something more going on here. If people were injured.
Maybe they were evacuating
And what's
quickly.
This light bulb got to do with anything?
There's something wrong here. Why would pumpkin spice clear a school?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
And why would a light bulb smell like pumpkin spice?
Yeah.
if they thought that's what it was. I don't understand.
I think the kids were smoking spice through a hollowed out light bulb.
Okay.
And that's what happened.
Okay. Gotcha.
Well, I'm
using my detective brain.
Once once they detected the pumpkin spice smell, did it fill up with women in yoga pants and sorority girls?
Aww.
You know, last year we, of course, had the McRib incident.
There has
to
be more to that.
This is a typo. It's Cristo Rey Jesuit High School, which makes a lot more sense.
Oh, yeah, it has the Christ in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Credo Rey? What is Credo, that?
That's the Star Wars version. Sense.
The Fighting Kretoris. That's the name of the team.
Firefighters found the smell's origin, a pumpkin spice-scented plug-in air freshener in a third-floor classroom.
So maybe the thing shorted out.
Maybe.
That would be it. So it smelled like burning electricity. I just don't understand how three people had to go to a hospital.
I don't know.
This is a different world now.
Because of a pumpkin spice.
It just says unknown injuries. I don't know.
Oh, you want to get that?
Sure, please? Yeah. Bob and Tom show, hello.
Hi, Bob and Tom, it's Donnie Baker.
Hey, Donnie.
Hey, Donnie.
Hey, can't we all just agree that pumpkin spice has humped the shark, finally?
Jumped the shark,
Donnie.
Well, the fact remains, if you're still snorting pumpkin spice, you're probably also rocking two fidget spinners and wearing Heelys. Uh-huh. It right your face.
Chance. It's over.
I think I speak for most of us, and I say it like this. I'm pretty much pumpkin spiced out.
Yeah.
Everybody is.
Pumpkin spice pizza, pumpkin spice candles. Won't be long till they got the pumpkin spice tampons and toilet paper for these basic girls.
Yeah. Basic girls?
Well, don't get me wrong. I love good pumpkin pie, Christy, but it belongs on a plate with Cool Whip on it. State law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to run face first into a waft of pumpkin spice between some chick's thighs because she just backfired a Massagill pumpkin celebration. Makes your eyes water just thinking about it.
Yeah, it does.
Strong enough to straighten a box perm. And the fact remains, you guys notice they only got this pumpkin spice during the fall months.
Yeah,
well, sure.
Well, if it was really that great, it'd be here year-round.
Really?
That's what my mom Phyllis used to say about my dad when I was growing up. Well, pumpkin spice should come with a free pair of yogurt pants, like a knitted scarf and a pair of suede Uggs. That's the basic bitch starter kit.
Yeah, whoa,
and if you're a dude into pumpkin spice, first of all, take your man bun down. You ain't a samurai. You're a waiter. Secondly and foremost, do us all a favor and take your man card out of your fanny pack and use it to pick the lock of the closet you're still stuck in. Swear to God. Because if you're a real man, pumpkins are only good for two things.
What's that?
Smashing in and deucing in.
What?
Oh, God.
Well, you've never played Ding Dong Deuce on Halloween before?
No,
I'm proud to say.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, me and Scotty Winkler tag teamed a pumpkin one year. It was so bad, we couldn't even get the lid back on it.
Oh, God.
Does that put the candle out?
You laugh, but its eyes were watering, too.
Oh.
Thanks, Donnie.
That was awful.
Ding Dong Deuce. What did he say?
Ding Dong Deuce.
Deuce, not douche.
Okay, I know I was thrown up. I didn't know the Massengill people had gotten on the pumpkin spice bandwagon. That is rough. With us in the studio, Jim Florentine. Jim, you were the host of kind of a famous heavy metal show.
Yeah, that metal show.
And what happened?
We were on for about 8 years. We got canceled about a year and a half ago.
It was a good run, though.
Yeah, no, it was a great run. We did 130 episodes. We were on for 8 years. And it's everywhere you go. It's like, come on, you got to bring that show back. I'm like, I have nothing to do with it.
Right.
I was just a guy on the show, one of three hosts on the show. Like, it's my, you know, like I'm the one holding back. We're like, do you try Netflix? I'm like, no, I never even thought about that. Is Netflix out there? What about YouTube? You know, you should get it on YouTube. I'm like, well, it's not my show. I know, but still.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you get fired from a place, you don't, basically you get fired. Like, you know, people go, your friends aren't going to go. You should go back to that company. You were really good there. Just go knock on the door. They'll let you back in. You were great for that company.
How many shows have you been to in your life? Do you have any idea?
Probably 400.
No, I just want to do a little test here. Ace, how many KISS shows have you been to? Ace Cosby, our engineer, by the way.
Around 300.
Okay. That's just KISS.
That's just KISS.
Wow.
That impressive?
Yeah.
I've been to one KISS show.
Uh-oh. We just started a fight.
Well, not necessarily.
I think I saw him there.
Yeah. 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 You would be
he
able to pick
out.
Him out.
Yeah.
I know. I went up to him like, security, where can I get water?
You're listening to A Little Extra. Bob and Tom Extra.